Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Hey, there's even a bridge! This is great! You can put six packs of soda in here. Milk, yogurt, you can put candy bars in the freezer.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Hey, I tell you what, you can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it? No, I mean, you can get a good look at a T-bone by sticking your head up a butcher's ass, but then, no, it's got to be your bull.
Paul Perillo.
I have what doctors call a little bit of a weight problem. I used to grab bear claws as a kid, two at a time.
That guy in little coat. That guy in little coat.
And Andy. And Andy?
You know where the weight room is?
Andy Hart.
Were you watching Spank Revision?
Maybe you were watching a movie with that funny comedian. Oh, what's his name? Buddy Wackett?
Hey, that's a pretty girl down there.
Geez, I wonder if she goes out with one of the Yankees.
Eric Scalavino.
I don't like you. Probably never will. You're a smug, unhappy little man, and you treat people like they were idiots.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
I'm going to make a toast to the best bunch of freaks ever born. Maybe we weren't the smartest guys.
Maybe we spent a little too much time puking off balconies.
But we had fun, huh?
Yeah! All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
Do that. Let's get ready to rumble, guy.
Yeah, but you don't have the pipes.
I do. I'm not going to yell.
I do.
You just yelled in my ear.
I think that's
10 seconds.
I don't know. Kind of gay.
All right. We're here until 2. Talking Patriots, talking Jets. It's Jets week here at Gillette
Stadium. You're
getting
a lot of run out of that. You made it the cover of the paper. Now you open the show. It's Jets week.
It is Jets week.
I still love the line from yesterday. I'm not emotionally prepared to lose this game.
I am, and I maintain that, and I will not be. I expect to win this game. I am going in there to this game thinking that way, and until the final whistle, I will be looking forward to a win.
This show is lacking because we all, I think, feel exactly the way Fred does.
Oh, yeah.
We all expect to win, and it's a huge game. We all agree,
but
we all expect to win.
Well, I could see the Jets winning. Unlike Fred, I could see the Jets winning.
Well, I know. I think Fred could see it. I just think he's not emotionally ready for it.
I could see it.
But the bad part is,
I don't plan on seeing
it. We could have... We could have a good solid, 45-minute discussion on the game. If
so you want
one
to
of
pick
us
the Jets?
No, I don't.
I'll pick them.
No, I want you to.
If you want me to.
I want you to believe it.
I don't.
Like you believed that Baltimore would win in the playoffs last year, and Fred and I thought the Patriots
would
win.
Right. Honestly, I was right.
That was good radio.
Right.
Now, webradio at patriots.com.
Hey, I never collected that meal.
Well, you rarely go on the road anymore.
If you ever come, 508-543-7482 is the phone number on the Ace Ticket
hotline. I just haven't collected the meal.
So we got a lot
Chicago.
To talk about this game coming
Ditkus.
Up. But one of the things about
the game.
A little
extra time now, too, with a 4:15 game in Chicago in 2 weeks.
I
drinking with Jay Cutler. He'll be doing it. He's like, whoa, I got an extra 3 hours.
To get drunk?
I do look at the game. And I look at
Fred wants to talk about football.
I look at the Jets offense, okay, and.
You should be scared.
They are stacked. And I'm wondering why. Is it just because Sanchez that they don't have the type of production the Patriots have?
Well, they are a top 10 scoring offense. Patriots are one. And
but
I
they
would
seem
say,
to
yeah.
do it all in bunches at the end of games when it's in critical points.
But what difference does it make when you get it?
Well,
I mean, the Patriots had 35 in the second half in Thanksgiving. Did it matter that that's how they got to 45?
I'm just wondering why. What's
Yeah, the difference is Brady is that much better than Sanchez. Yeah,
I also think the system is better. I'm not in love with Schottenheimer and from what I've seen from him.
I think that's a great point. I think
the Patriots system, not necessarily saying Bill O'Brien or whatever, the system that's been in place here, I think is better. It's more productive.
I was listening, and I bet you Andy was too. When we were driving home on Thanksgiving, were you listening to the game at all?
What game?
the Thursday night game, the Thanksgiving night game. No, the Jets Cincinnati game. Sorry, Fred, I was doing my job.
How
do you like it when it gets thrown back
for
at
For once,
you?
He watches a Monday night game.
No, I don't. I don't never watch Monday night games. This was Thursday night when we were driving home. I was listening to the
probably
game.
Was.
At the beginning of the second half, the Jets came out, play action pass hit Santonio Holmes for like a 16-yard. Deep in cut. Boomer was doing all this talking, by the way.
Why are you memorizing plays on the radio?
It was two plays, and he made a big deal out of it. That's why I remember it. They had one long pass, deep in cut, and then the reverse for a touchdown. Aggressive, out of the box, let's go push the ball downfield thinking. The next possession, they scored, took the lead, stopped in three and out, got the ball right back, and did the same thing. Play action, deep in cut to Santonio Holmes. They had a rhythm going. They got two first downs, and then it was run, third and long, pass, incomplete. They punted. The next possession, run, third and long, he threw a pick. And Boomer's point was, Brian Schottenheimer just got Mark Sanchez out of his rhythm.
Yeah.
By affecting the way he...
Overthinking it.
Yeah, by changing what he had success with early. He had a little jump in his step. He came out, he was dumping it off to LT, he was throwing the ball down the field to Santonio Holmes. I agree with you, Andy. I think Schottenheimer's system is not
But is it him
great.
Or is it Ryan? Because Ryan run the ball and play defense, but you now have the offense where you have Braylon Edwards who can get down the field, Santonio Holmes who can do anything on the field, Dustin Keller who I think is one of the best young tight ends in football.
And a pretty good offense.
Back out of the backfield.
And a pretty good offensive line.
Yeah. You theoretically don't have to be run and defense.
That's
you can
right.
be points, scoring, passing, no, and
if you if you recall the game in week two, the Jets
now
offense
that I recall.
The Jets offense had a very good day against the Patriots. But it was backwards to what they normally do.
Right.
And it was almost like the way the Patriots have a lot of success running the football against teams, that's how the Jets ran the ball that day
right.
in passing situations. Spreading the field out of the shotgun with LT kind of gashing them a little bit. That's where they got most of their running production. The plays they made, the scoring plays, were passes.
And, right. you know, look, if your mindset in a given game is we're going to go out and we're going to establish a run and pound the ball, fine, do it, and don't stop until they stop you. But you can also have the mindset we're going to go out and just start chucking it. Fine, do it, and don't stop doing it until they stop you.
But that's
you know?
My point.
I think
their general
finding a mix
mindset
and knowing
is running.
When it's,
see,
you know,
I don't think they want to mix. I think Ryan is happy with what he had last
going,
year.
Why stop it, you know?
Well, because I got to run the ball. This is what we do.
You
see,
I got
a
guy by the name
of
Terminator
Ryan's
on the team. I got
Fred started this whole thing by saying how much better is Brady than Sanchez. Is that the difference? Is why it's 24 as opposed to 30 points a game. It's basically the Patriots score an extra touchdown every game. Well, I think the differences between Belichick and Rex Ryan are that I think Ryan is a little bit more content to say, I handle the defense. You do what you need to do. Yeah, I think he is a conservative guy.
But I think he
kind of leaves the offense, whereas I don't think Belichick leaves anything to anybody.
Well, no, it's Belichick's team, no question. But what I think is sometimes the Patriots get criticized for not running the ball enough. And, oh, well, it was a two-yard run for Ben Jarvis Greenellis. Now we got to spread it out and throw it. I think the Jets are the opposite. I think Rex Ryan sees Sanchez throw an incompletion or a near pick and goes, all right, why don't we put the pass away and let's run the goddamn football?
I think they do. I agree.
I think that's when he chimes in. Let's run the damn football. And I think they're tweeners right now because I think they do have the makings to be a passing offense that could put up a lot of plays. And that's where I think they can win this game, personally. I think Santonio Holmes, and Fred, you and I may argue this, I guess, on TV, but I think Santonio Holmes is a tough matchup for them. I really do.
He's
all
a
over
tough
the field.
Matchup for anybody. Yeah,
but
that's why he's
I
good.
I think the combination, you have to pay attention to Edwards. I'm not really afraid of him, but you do have to pay attention to him. But Holmes and Dustin Keller in the middle of the field, this pass defense hasn't proven to me that they're ready for a matchup like that.
Holmes is a guy that can get you 10 for 140. Edwards is a guy that can get you 3 for 100.
Right.
If you're not careful.
Which and I don't expect to happen.
No, I don't either.
But if Holmes has 10 for 140 and Keller has 6 for 75,
you're in trouble.
You might be in trouble.
Well,
in
is
trouble.
It a simple case then of the Patriots have just playing that over the top help and giving up the short stuff and just
no? Because I've seen them play that over the top help and the other team goes 15 yards.
They're going to have to give that up.
Well, they've been very
they've
good
proven
at
that they
away.
Can allow teams to do that at times.
They've taken
away
the big
they don't
big
get
play.
That pick in the third quarter or the
I
early
know,
in the fourth,
I
it's
just
over.
Don't think that they can stop this team wow. by you know, trying to cover everything.
Well, I agree with Fred. I don't have much confidence in the defense. Not this is really
They're
not
going to have to pick their
this
poison.
Doesn't say much against the Jets. This is, I don't think they have much help of stopping really anybody.
Wow.
Unless they get the turnovers that you're talking about. It's not a turn for the negative.
It's not. It's
I don't think the Jets are going to stop the Patriots either.
I still
either.
Think
is that
the Patriots are going to win, but I think the Jets will get their yards. I think that.
So you don't think Sanchez is capable of going 15 yards at a time down the field?
I do.
Oh.
But I think once you get in the red zone, threes instead of sevens. That's what you're hoping for.
So I should dust off that football math analysis.
Yeah.
But that's, seven beats but that's, three every time.
You know, right. That, in a game like this, that's probably going to be big. You know, which defense comes up biggest in the red zone? That might decide the whole game.
I agree, Paul. I think that's it.
Because I think that the offenses will move the football up and down the field. And who ends up with the most points is going to be as a result of which defense bends and breaks when they get in the red zone. Now, the Jets did a good job. You know, and I mentioned I mentioned Edwards would be like a guy for 3 for 100. It doesn't have to be 100, but like the first game, he had 2 touchdowns, right? Or a touchdown and a two-point conversion, maybe.
Yes.
That's, you know, those are the big plays. I think Cotchery might have had another touchdown. Those are the big plays that he makes. Braylon Edwards, you all right over there?
My cord was stuck. The one exception to that.
Is he a pacemaker?
I agree with Paul. I think it's going to come down to who does better in the red zone. But I think the exception would be if one of the other team, hopefully it's the Patriots, get the type of lead that makes the other team one-dimensional. Then I think knowing that the Jets have to pass, then you might see some stops. But
and your job in the red zone, too, is easier if you're one-dimensional because, you know, you can sell out. You know, if you're the Jets and you're down by the goal line there and if you have a lead and you know the Patriots have to throw on every down, they're not going to slip a draw in on you?
Oh, yeah, I think that's a problem.
You know, that's a
if
problem.
If the Patriots are forced to be one-dimensional, I think you get killed. If the Jets are forced to be one-dimensional, I think they still have a puncher's chance.
I don't think
this defense, even when they know it's one-dimensional, can put usually that's when you put pressure on a passer. So is that when Kyle Arrington gets his first sack? I'm not really that confident that you're going to get pressure on him, even if they're one-dimensional.
I mean, I'm not looking necessarily for that as much for the Jets. You're right. The Jets' defense, I have a lot of respect for the Jets' defense, but it hasn't played well this year, and they haven't played well in situations where they should be able to have the advantage.
They will in this one, I guarantee.
Yeah, they haven't.
You might be right, but
teams are behind. They haven't shut them down.
No, you know, like
they haven't been great.
That last drive that they allowed against Cleveland, you know, a pretty – you know, pedestrian offense when you take Peyton Hillis out of the equation, and they couldn't stop Colt McCoy.
Well,
because they can't get there anymore.
They remind me a little bit of the Patriots offense in 07. That defense started to fade a little bit last year, late in the year.
Well, I thought it got better late in the year.
Oh,
right? Absolutely.
I thought they started to struggle. I didn't think the pressures got there as much.
Going down the stretch and into the playoffs is when their defense played its best football.
Hey,
they
had Peyton Manning shut down for a half.
They actually,
well, yeah, but you can't do it for a half.
No, I know, but I'm just saying.
They actually
can't do it for a whole game.
They're still pretty good.
Right now.
Well, they're still pretty good now. I just don't think they're great.
They have better
those
numbers.
Those pressure schemes that no one can figure out where they're coming from, I don't think they get there nearly as often.
Oh, I agree.
They
and
don't.
I think people have
they
either
agree.
Figured it out or they're not doing it as well, whatever, but
yeah.
It's not as indefensible as it once was.
They have better numbers right now defensively, almost across the board, than they had at this time last year.
Really?
This is when they kicked it up a notch defensively. And I was surprised by that too, Andy, until I did the preview last week. And I read some of that stuff in some of the New York papers. The guy who writes who does the Urine Stream blog, Freddie, your boy there.
I don't know.
Mensa?
Yeah. No, don't know the guy.
Do I know the guy?
We're just not going to acknowledge
Kobe
the
Bryant?
Other team is going
no,
to
No, I don't know him. The guy I know is Dan Leberfeld from Jets Confidential.
Okay.
Yeah, but you always quote the Urine Stream.
Well, yeah, because he does the tweet.
I think it's Mensa.
You don't sound like you're Mensa right
What's
now.
What's his name?
I don't know.
Menstrual.
It's like the, I think he's New York Daily News. Rich Cimini is the guy I used to work by. I think he's on ESPN New York now. So, I don't know.
Anyway.
I don't deal with those.
Boy, we just wasted 5 minutes. We can never get back.
But
saying Mensa, Mansa,
I was
surprised.
Menstrual.
Salsa? That's a show.
The stream's on a cycle, and it's a menstrual.
All right, Fred. It wasn't really funny the first three times.
Especially at lunch. People are eating.
Ugh. Speaking of, are we eating?
Well, we had a late call-in because you weren't available.
Oh. Yeah, webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. You know, speaking of Kyle Arrington, a Tom from Pittsburgh sent a very well-thought-out email, I thought, about that. And I just want to read it. Okay. Because
why do I guess that we're going to get made fun of?
No. I think it's actually a pretty good email. And we were talking yesterday about we just can't figure out what Belichick is looking for in the Arrington experiment as an outside linebacker lined up on the line.
Right.
You know, in
I would definitely say that's accurate for me because I haven't seen him even get a sniff.
You know, I don't know as much as Belichick, but I'd love to understand what he's looking for. What does he hope to gain out of this? Because so far I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing what the upside is.
Right.
But this email might shed a little light. I'm not dismissing it. I'm not sure I completely agree with it. But he says you wanted someone to tell you one positive thing from playing Arrington as a down lineman while spewing your disdain for Belichick's new package.
Well, that's not true.
Pause for Andy's giggle. No, he didn't giggle. And I don't think we had disdain. We just couldn't figure it out.
We, Paul and Andy, didn't. You did.
Disdain?
From the very first minute, you were ranting after the game.
Yeah, no, I just can't.
A week ago against the Colts, you were ranting.
Yeah,
you were not happy.
I can't figure it out.
I had no disdain for it.
I just don't understand.
Okay. Fred Kirsch had disdain.
I have a few thoughts on the matter, and we'll listen to your feedback. I think you may be looking at a wonderful midseason adjustment and are making conclusions without waiting for the final product. It already has made a couple of plays, a pick to McCourty from Manning the first time out and a sack on Sean Hill the next. For Manning, it falls under the quarterback adage, if you can see both numbers on the defender's jersey, get rid of the ball. On the play, Arrington jumps inside and uncovers in 2 seconds. The old lineman recovers and puts Arrington in the dirt at 3 seconds, but the damage is done. Peyton throws the ball to a spot rather than a player and didn't hold the ball long enough to see the cover two defense shown was actually a cover three, leaving McCourty to make a wonderful catch. The best part was CBS showing Manning right afterward looking down at the pre-snap pictures. He throws them on the ground and turns away in disgust, knowing he was fooled twice on one play, a rare feat, priceless. Against the Lions, you saw Arrington pinch the pocket, something this team sorely lacks since Vrabel's departure. Pick a spot and use speed to drive the angle, forcing the QB to step up. You don't get a sack, but it pushes the QB closer to the lineman and gives them an extra second to get their hands on him while he resets like Pierre Woods did, or at least it hinders the QB from stepping into the throw. Its use moving forward is an adjustment to a bad prevent defense. Right now, Belichick is having Arrington rush the QB to make sure the offensive linemen have to account for him. Once the playoffs come around, I think you could see them use Arrington in pass-rushing stunts to help keep hands off him and utilize that speed. And how many times have we seen running backs take dump-off passes for 20 yards against the prevent? With Arrington as a lineman, you're in the rare position of being able to have a defensive end cover the running back coming out of the backfield, hopefully keeping gains minimal while allowing the linebackers to focus on wide receivers and tight ends. You can also drop him into several different zone coverages you could never do with a real lineman. Belichick is doing anything he can to try and patch the biggest weakness of this team moving forward, and I commend him for taking some of the things Arrington does so well on special teams and giving him a chance to apply it to a lacking defense. I honestly can't wait until next year when Bodden's return allows Arrington to move into nickel corner where he could excel. So I hope you enjoyed the email, and to Paul, the worst thing I can say is stop. You sound like Eric, and the last thing we need is more Eric. So
we could just pretend there's any bit of truth to any of that.
Well, he did get the edge a little bit in Detroit a couple times. There's no doubt. He looked like a pass rusher.
He didn't make a single play until they were up 21 points.
Right.
So that whole play that he's talking about happened on the last drive when they were up 21.
But I'm talking about whenever the first time he came in as an outside linebacker, he looked like he could get there. He's right. That guy's right. He picked the point, and he beat the guy to it. He made the guy force him around. Hill had to step up. There's no doubt that happened. But my issue is all this stuff, maybe some of this stuff is true. It's not true that he's going to be able to tackle the running back out of the backfield unless he's covering him.
What he's saying is that because an offensive lineman has to account for Arrington, it frees up another one of our defensive linemen to make that tackle.
No, it doesn't.
That makes no sense at all.
It doesn't
at all. He's playing outside linebacker, so whoever was there, the tackle would have to account for.
That's Mike Vrabel in the past. That's Willie McGinnis in the past.
They either
he thought Arrington could make tackles on backs out of the backfield.
Well, right. I don't think so.
No, yes, he can't. Not if he's pass rushing. And if he drops into coverage, right. then it's okay.
The
we
same
talked
as an
about
outside
that.
Linebacker. Right. Rob Ninkovich made two great interceptions in Miami doing that.
No, he's going to get swallowed up. He can't fight off a block.
And his whole theory is saying that no one else can do it. And maybe that's true. Maybe Bill just decided no one else can do it. That literally Arrington is the only guy with enough speed at his disposal to get to a spot, to create any type of pressure, not sack, just get the quarterback to feel some sort of pressure from that edge.
But
maybe Arrington's the only guy.
But that's assuming that last part that you said, that Arrington's the only guy that can do
that. Bill may have reached that point.
And what I saw on, to me, the 25 times he's done it, he was squashed on 20 of them.
Well, I don't know the exact. The whole Colts game was a waste.
Maybe not.
The whole Colts game was a waste.
Maybe I'm exaggerating.
He was out of position in the Colts game. He looked more comfortable this time.
I don't believe. To me, the second interception, which I think is the one he's describing for Manning, by McCourty, was not a result of pressure in any way. That was a misread on one or the others. It was either Garcon's fault or Manning's fault. I initially thought it was Garcon's fault. Just giving Manning the benefit of the doubt. Manning has taken all the blame. And what the emailer says is right. He went to the sideline. He looked at the pitchers. He threw them down. And after the game, he said, that was not on Pierre. That was on me. I think he's just being a good teammate.
But either way,
the guy wasn't where he was supposed to be.
The mistake was a read down the field, not a read.
Exactly.
In his,
had
you know
nothing
what I mean?
To do, had
they
nothing
misread
to do with
where they wanted
no, but,
to break
misread
the route.
It wasn't because of pressure.
Had, because
you always throw the ball to a spot. You don't ever wait until the guy gets.
He's saying because he had to throw it 1 second earlier, he didn't recognize
and I'm
the
saying
number
he
three.
Didn't.
I think he just
look
made the wrong read.
Here's all I'm saying. I don't get it, but I'm not dismissing what this guy says. And I
oh,
gotta,
I'm not dismissing any of the
and
football
I gotta
stuff
believe
that said.
There's a reason, and I just love to know what we should be looking for here. You know, maybe it hasn't happened yet.
I think what it's telling you is the last thing that Andy said and what the emailer is talking about. And
he's trying anything.
He's trying, but he knows that the guys that he has can't get there. So he's trying something else.
Yeah.
To see if he can throw a wrinkle in. I just haven't seen it be effective.
Like,
he didn't see Cunningham be effective for seven games, so he's going to say, I'll take a chance with Arrington.
Right.
What's the worst that happens? He's not effective?
But even if, like,
I mean,
before this
me,
all happened, if
bit...
somebody said, oh, you know what, they're going to try Arrington as a down lineman with his hand in the dirt, I'd be like, wow, do you really think he's going to be able to get around the guy? You know, that's what I would think even before I saw it.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering what they're thinking. What
is
it that they're
looking
for?
I think he's thinking they can't get anybody to get there. I would say that
he's a scrappy, physical player.
I would say
who's fast.
That, Andy, at least with Cunningham. A
like,
couple
Butler
of times
is fast,
he,
but he's
he
not
flashes.
Scrappy and physical.
Okay.
You don't think he's going to win a hand-to-hand combat. Arrington has shown his physicality.
You look at a 350-pound guy who's strong and athletic for his size. I don't care how good a guy is in martial arts. If he's 140 pounds, I'm still betting on the 350
he's not 140 pounds.
No, but he's also got martial arts, so I'm adding that element of a skill fighting element to it. I'm still picking the 350 pounds because once he gets his hands on him, it's over.
Well, the theory is he's not going to get his hands.
But
on
if
him.
You're lining up in the dirt, he's going to. Now, if he's coming from
not
a corner blitz, maybe he doesn't get his hands on him.
Or if he gets the edge, he might not get his hands on him.
Or if he does the stunts later on that this
the only way
was
he's getting
about.
The edge untouched is if he anticipates the snap count perfectly.
Right.
Sure.
These guys have
but that's
arms
what all the outside,
as long
all
as
outside linebackers
Arrington
do that.
Is tall.
I understand, but if he gets under him, that's also another theory.
He could, but all I got to do is stick my knee in his gut and he's done. I'm serious.
Exactly
I'm,
and then
no,
you got 15
it is
yards.
Legal. You can't.
You can't knee a guy in the gut.
Knee a guy
if he's
stomach.
Already down there, it looks like a natural play.
What the hell are you talking about?
Who's the emailer?
Thomas from Pittsburgh.
Thomas, I'm with you, man. You swayed me. You needed Fred, but you swayed me.
Help Fred out.
No, I agree with a lot of Thomas's football. The football aspect of a lot of what Thomas said, I agree with. I just don't think it's been effective. I disagree with the McCourty pick was a result of any pressure. And I'm going to have to plead ignorant on the sack of Sean Hill because when we left the press box with 3 minutes left in the game, he hadn't been sacked.
Right.
So the only sack that could have taken place was when we were in the elevator up 21 points.
Now, let's just say that maybe
I might not have any use the rest of the day.
Along the same thinking, Jermaine Cunningham, we can argue, caused a pick.
Yes. Yeah.
So what's wrong with keeping him
that's
doing
my,
it?
That's my point. Even though he hasn't been overly effective, there have been a couple of times where he has gotten there and caused problems. He knocked the ball out of Flacco's hands once. I think he caused the pick to win the game against Indy with a little flash. I haven't seen Arrington.
Unless.
And I don't expect to see Arrington.
Now, here's
do
another
that.
Thing that we the emailer hasn't brought up, and we really haven't brought up. They have been thin at defensive line, and maybe these guys are just gassed at the end. And this
those
is all,
guys aren't on the field.
The defensive lineman
not on the field in those situations.
A linebacker, a pass rusher, an edge rusher is what he's replacing. He's not replacing.
That's
well, first
true.
Of all, they're
that's
not gassed because they do rotate on the defensive line quite a bit.
They just didn't have any last
they don't
game
have
because they were all out.
That's one game. This started 2 weeks ago, and they've been rotating all year.
Okay. 5-0-8-5.
I'm just not a huge fan of that move. That's all.
You want me to follow everything on the Twitter?
I'm not either, Paul, but I'm hoping somebody can convince me otherwise.
Well, I would like to hear someone give me a good reason.
Yeah.
And Thomas, that's a very good, solid
I
email.
Was listening
I agree
to
with
Andy
you, Freddie.
Go ahead, Andy. What do you got?
Darren Rovell, you know who that is.
Yes. Oh, you started following him after you made fun of me?
Not really.
CNBC, he's a sports business guy.
Rovell.
What?
Darren Rovell.
That's how you say it?
I think it's Rovell.
I don't know.
I think it's Rovell also.
Okay. Shares of the parent company of Uggs are up a crazy 5% after the announcement that Tom Brady
is that
had
right?
joined. Yes.
That sort of throws a damper on my whole
damn
advertising
right.
thing, huh?
No, it doesn't. Because these are just this is just anticipation of business. I read the quotes from the guy at Decker, the parent company.
Right.
He's wrong. What better guy to give men the freedom to wear Uggs than Tom Brady? He's not a man's man.
However,
he will never be mistaken as a man's man.
On Brady's
he's a ladies'
side,
man.
But listen to me. On Brady's side, it could be smart as hell because you're looking to get involved with a company that has this growth potential in, you know, because of what I did. So, you know, Under Armour isn't going to grow so much because all of a sudden Tom Brady became, you know, Nike
right.
isn't going to grow just because Tom. They've got a million other guys.
He's along
stuff.
For the ride there.
Right.
He admitted
but,
it. I want to wear what all the cool kids are wearing.
Here's a sliver of the
Isn't
industry.
Is that what he said, basically?
Yeah, that's exactly
sliver,
what he said.
Here's a sliver of the industry that Ugg really doesn't have right now.
Right.
That if maybe his contract is tied to, you know, growth.
Sure.
And so now I'm starting at a lower level.
I understand the whole theory. Yeah. I just think he's the wrong guy. I think a badass is the guy.
I have a confession to make.
Like Chuck Liddell or what's it? Rampage
Brock
Jackson, Brock Lesnar.
Who?
Men would go,
Rampage
that guy's
Jackson?
A badass. If he wears them, I can wear them. Tom Brady's a metrosexual, right?
Yeah.
So how does that give
well,
you know
maybe,
a man's man, a Fred Kirsch, well, a guy who likes to have his chest hair
maybe
showing?
Maybe they're not looking for the man's men. They're looking
no,
for
they
the
are.
Metrosexuals.
I read the quote. They want to give men. Men.
Metrosexuals.
No, men. There's two different things there. Men.
Yeah.
They want to give men the ability to wear these things, and they don't.
Eric's already bought 3 pair.
They don't want Eric. They want men.
Whoa.
Oh, jeez.
I have a confession to make.
Yeah. You're not a man?
I do.
You wear Uggs?
I have Ugg slippers. I do. I didn't even think of that.
Because
I was just
like?
Thinking of the boots. Oh, they're
every
a man,
other slipper?
They're a man's slipper.
Because
yeah.
if you shave the top off, yeah, I have slippers that look like that, too.
They're flat.
I get Uggs confused with Crocs.
Oh,
what's the difference here?
Crocs, to me, are even worse.
Crocs
but
are
Crocs,
rubber.
Yeah.
And Crocs are more universal.
Well, what
plenty
are,
of men
what are,
wear Crocs.
Yeah,
now,
and I think they're
not cool.
I think they're
but
more
not many
Eric
men
like
wear.
than Uggs.
Now, well, Uggs started for men in Australia. They were
like
made for the surfers.
Yeah, they're
right?
waterproof.
Crocs?
But now
yeah,
they're
Crocs.
Crocs. Uggs are suede boots.
Uggs are, yeah, they're not. You don't get them wet.
Crocs started in Boulder, Colorado.
Okay.
Uggs are from Australia, but they're not waterproof.
Oh.
I mean, they're not like for surfers or anything.
Oh,
Crocs.
I thought they were for. That's
Crocs
what I heard.
They're
on
soft
the radio this morning
and warm and.
Yeah, they're like fleece lined. The slip, they're just regular slippers, like any
right.
other slipper you'd have.
But
I do have to make
fine.
That. I have to make that confession because I was.
But you're not wearing those out of your house.
Yeah, only in the winter when
really?
It's cold.
And they're slippers.
Do you
sometimes,
wear slippers?
Sometimes the
oh,
kitchen
yeah.
floor is
yeah.
cold.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I never wear slippers.
And I'm talking.
You never wear pants at home either.
Well, that's true.
I'm talking like two and a half, 3 months a year tops.
I have a couple pair of slippers.
Sometimes the hardwood floors are cold.
Yeah.
The kitchen floor is cold
that's
in the winter.
That's the problem I have. My garage is under my kitchen.
Yeah, if I have
cold.
To go out to the garage, I don't like to be barefoot.
Well, I always have a
in
pair
the
of
the winter.
Stuff I could slip on
do,
if I go outside.
Go
but...
I actually went to Cheesecake Factory with them
oh,
last
wow.
week. I didn't go into the store.
I think
is,
that's
my rule is the convenience store down the
kind
road is as far as I'll go.
Well, but I never had to get. I got curbside parking. I never got out of the car.
Okay.
I'd like to know how many of our listeners
I was in
wear
my
slippers.
Saturday college football attire, sweats.
Why don't you wear slippers? I could see you in boxers and slippers.
Northeastern foam hat.
What?
No,
boxers
they played
and slippers
played
is like the man
Saturday
look,
night.
The old
yeah.
grandpa look.
Yeah, I don't wear slippers. It's just another thing I don't need.
Do you keep your house exceptionally
normally,
warm so that the floors
I normally
are like
don't
80?
Wear them, Freddie.
Yeah, they're not.
But I
No,
like
Fred
I said,
has
just,
heaters underneath
just in
the floor.
Winter.
Yeah.
I normally don't. I would never put him on in the middle of
the
summer.
I wear socks. Like, I'll take my shoes off, and I won't take my socks off.
Yeah, I'll leave my socks. Oh, I don't like being barefoot.
Right.
I agree.
That's the same as slippers.
And I don't wear slippers all the time.
Said the man who wears socks with flip-flops.
When it's cold. It's really cold.
Yeah, that's the same
with usually
me.
No, not
I'm never with a flip-flop, but with sandals, yes.
Yeah. A lot of times I'll go out for my
biggest game of the week, Jets week.
My Diet Pepsi run with my refrigerator in the garage. It's cold out there.
Oh, well,
I got to have slippers
on. You have your shoes by the door, so you just slip them right on.
They're called slippers.
I just leave my shoes by the door.
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Blake from Southern Cal is on the phone. Hey, Blake, do you wear slippers?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good. Do you wear slippers?
Hey, I'm actually wearing slippers right now, guys.
All right.
For you, are they Uggs?
Some Tempur-Pedics.
Oh, nice.
Tempur-Pedic slippers.
Didn't realize we were in a higher tax bracket.
Those Brookstones?
So, hey, a couple of things I wanted to say. I'll be heading out to the game, actually, flying out on Saturday.
Nice.
It'll be my second time at Gillette. Last time I was there, during the undefeated season against San Diego, Davis Thomas takes it back to the house.
Oh, yeah.
The one and only play he made as a
38-14.
Yeah, pretty much the only play he made.
He had that Jets thing where Leon Washington, Brett Favre, and he all danced.
He also had that sack in the Super Bowl where he...
So three.
He made some plays.
True, true.
Not enough.
Just none last year.
Be heading down to Patriot Place finally. Last time I was there, it was all under construction. Not really sure what was going on, but
presented by Raytheon.
Yeah, I'll be heading to the hall by Raytheon. All that good stuff.
Yeah, nice. Great.
Going to the pro shop, getting my Brady throwback jersey.
Awesome.
You gonna get a Danny really Woodhead jersey that, too?
The youth one.
No, you'll be amazed.
That's the leading seller, right?
Patriot Place now. It really is cool.
Yeah, I've heard some good things about
Could even go ice skating.
Yeah. Ice skating rink there and everything.
Right. Oh, wow.
A little sheet to yourself.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to point out about the game coming up, I'll be excited to see Braylon Edwards out there not being able to punk us on Butler, you know? I think
that's assuming Butler's not out there. Will Hyde's still hurt, Butler might be out there again. And he'll have flashbacks.
Wow. Because I know the game last time, he had two touchdowns, I believe.
That was McCourty.
But remember,
McCourty
got
beat for two touchdowns in that
game. McCourty had his battle with Butler.
He's a much better player right now than he was in week two, Devin McCourty. So that's could be a key element, too.
Right.
Yeah, I was hoping that would be the difference there. I know they also got, Santonio there, but...
Butler got a couple of pass interference penalties in that game, if I remember, late, too.
Yeah, it just seemed like...
Butler sucked. He struggled in that. He could not have sucked much more.
No, he lost his job.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, Blake, we'll look forward to seeing you this weekend out on the ice rink.
Hey, if you're going to come to one game, though, that's
Blake,
the game
you
to
lucked
go to,
out,
Blake.
Boy. That's the best game to come to.
Good job.
Did I hear, I could probably check this on
here. It's Blake from Southern Cal.
I'm going to try my phone. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
AFC Player of the Week is
Tom Brady.
Congratulations, Tom. Kind of a light well player. Earned.
I mean, that's a travesty. Game.
Everyone sucks but me.
508-543-7482, webradio at patriots.com.
Freddie, what do you think of the Steelers being in the top five in the power rankings?
Steal the ones. To any Steeler fans listening, I'm
just thinking,
suck.
I think right now, Patriots, Jets, Baltimore, New Orleans, San Diego, there's five right off the top of my head that I think should be better than Pittsburgh.
Atlanta.
Yeah. Atlanta. Yep.
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh shouldn't be in the top five.
No,
I mean, I could see the argument that you put them ahead of San Diego. They're two games better.
But power rankings aren't about – it's about who's playing better right now. That's what power rankings
are. Except for Jason Lock and
Forrest. But it's also about
– my power rankings.
But it should be
– I didn't know you have any.
I have some.
Well, so –
you should post them. Kirsch's rankings.
No.
On the blog.
Part of curse words.
That would be fun. Just
every
a top
Tuesday.
10. Just a top 10.
Just
I don't
your
have
time
top...
to tell them what I wanted for lunch. I'm going to do power rankings now.
I'm not sure I agree with you, though. Just who's playing better right now?
That's a power ranking.
Well, I don't think so. So all the teams that won that week should be ranked ahead of the teams that lost?
No, but it's a cumulative. What I'm talking about.
But that's what I'm saying. You got to take the season
into consideration. I don't mean who played better last week. I mean everything put into the pot. Who is the the strongest team at the moment?
Yeah, I don't think Pittsburgh has been overly impressed. I thought the wins they had without Roethlisberger impressed me, but they really haven't done much to impress me since. And not because of Roethlisberger. I just think their defense has been somewhat exposed, and I don't think they have. I think they're really missing Holmes. To get back to the Jets, they're really missing Santonio Holmes and that element of the offense.
Right. Oh, yeah. They would be so much better with Wallace stretching the field and Holmes underneath.
With Holmes and Ward.
Eric from California says, man, I would wear Uggs if they make them in throwback colors, but I got to see Brady wear them first. So.
Jackpot.
You know, we'll see. Let's see.
What's that? No, he doesn't.
Herman writes
Portly
in.
Paul Perillo.
Herman is from San Francisco. He says, hello, gentlemen. I got a hip. I just got hip to this show maybe a month and a half ago.
Yeah, hip to the chive? I got a hip.
But
I'm Frank Gore.
But I must say that I'm addicted. Keep up the good work. My question comment is, in the ongoing argument about whom is better between Brady and Manning, my stance has always been, despite Manning's gaudy stats and a huge fair-weather following, Brady has gotten the job done with what could be described as adequate receivers. Remember Doug Gabriel and Rashay Caldwell? Given a situation where Brady has a prime Marvin Harrison and a young Reggie Wayne, Marcus Pollard, and Dallas Clark, he wins about 5 Super Bowls instead of 3. Comparisons to Bradshaw or Montana are gone, and the only question is this guy the best ever at any position? I think what we're seeing... What we're now seeing is Manning operated with mediocre core of receivers, and he can't keep pace. Agree or disagree?
Nice. You know, we've talked about
I think he is kind of keeping pace.
I do, too.
I think he's keeping pace this year, and I thought he proved last year that
– I've given up on the whole –
Both guys are great. Both guys have done it with a lot of weapons. Both guys have done it with no weapons. Right now, I think you're seeing Brady do it without a defense, and Manning did it pretty much his whole career without a defense. You can't go wrong.
Connor in Dubai writes in, really missed the shows last week, quoting Brady on Rich Eisen's podcast. I'm not one that's ever cared too much about the length or non-length of it. I guess he's talking about his hair. thought your immaturity might like that statement. You got me. This was in relation to his hair, by the way. So my question, give me three different things from the first game that are going to be of importance to this game versus the Jets. Well, I think Paul just
– Holmes.
I think Holmes is a difference maker. I think the maturity of McCourty could be a difference maker. I think Branch instead of Moss could be a difference maker. I think the
Huge.
Patriots might in the – you know, not that they're a better offense than – you know, that debate's still there, but they might be better suited to beat the Jets – pressure,
but will
with
that
Branch.
Will it be better or worse?
I don't know.
I mean, Moss had a touchdown.
Or worse.
He did have a touchdown.
You know?
I'm just more intrigued in the matchups.
I am totally intrigued by that. How they go about it.
All the different matchups, I think, are a lot
more
interesting.
That's the number one thing that I'm interested in is, do they match up with Revis and Cromartie? And if so, who gets which receiver?
No.
I don't think they'll match up either.
I think they're going to stay on the
I
side.
Think you're actually going to see those guys on Aaron Hernandez occasionally.
If somebody gets hot, maybe they switch it, but I think they start out with
I read a story today that they're talking a lot about the tight ends and how much Ryan was saying how they've really transformed. They get the ball downfield now rather than on the outside to Moss. They're getting the ball downfield in the inside to the tight ends more, and obviously that's been Gronkowski the last few games. He seems to catch a 25-yard seam route every game now.
People are noticing.
And remember, in that first game, he would have had one, but he dropped it. Or the ball was a little bit underthrown.
Yeah, it got broken up. Yeah, he never got to him. The big game in the first one was Hernandez, 6 for 101.
He dropped it, or it was underthrown.
Well, remember,
but Hernandez had 6 catches for 101 yards.
Mostly all in the first half, though.
Well, they got shut out in the second half. That's another element that's sort of interesting. When we lost in week 2 in 2009, shut out in the second half week 2 this year. 7 points in the second half offensively of the big win here in November, I think, last year when Sanchez threw all the picks.
Yep.
So, second half, it seems like the Jets have made some adjustments on things, but it won't be because of forcing the ball to Moss the way that they've complained about in the past.
Right.
Of course, you won't have the Moss touchdown either.
So. All right.
That's why I say, will it be better or worse?
Kevin, let's take a quick break. Food's here. We have to... you know, get a little settled, and we'll be right back. Lots of emails, lots of good talk coming up.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Braves! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Get ready for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You could win an all-inclusive weekend trip to Super Bowl 45. You're already halfway there. Just enter for your chance to win right here at patriots.com. Simply click on the Verizon logo to play the Gridiron Challenge. It's that easy. And you could win weekly prizes, including Patriots tickets, autographed merchandise, and more. Start playing today. Brought to you by Verizon. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Must be a legal U.S. resident 18 years or older. Ends December 27th, 2010. Void where prohibited. For official rules, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
PFW makes a great Christmas gift. Sure does. 1-800-494-PATS. Would you subscribe for us, would you, if you don't mind?
You like that comeback, don't you, Fred?
Yeah, it's good. All right. Once today, Paul Perillo providing it. Paul, you got an email you want to read? Or?
No, you guys never let me talk.
What?
I resign.
I just watched on ESPN Friday, they had a little montage of Rex Ryan at the podium.
Right.
Yeah, we don't have the volume up, so I couldn't hear them all, but just the ridiculousness of, you know, his wig when he was making fun of his brother. And
eating a bunch of f***ing cheeseburgers?
Yeah, stuff like that.
That's being a jackass.
I think there's an element of him that he's certifiably insane.
Let's make sure we play like the f***ing New York Jets and not some f***ing slap team.
But I'll tell you, you know, when Bill Parcells was here, his press conferences were must-watch. They were sponsored in PFW. We'd have the transcript, and that was sponsored. I'm sure if it was today where people could you know, watch the press conferences live on their phone or, like, you know, back then it would have been huge numbers. And from what I hear, Rex Ryans are now the same at the Jets. They're must-watch TV or video on the web, whatever it is. You know, so if the Jets marketing must be loving this, you know. So, but I do agree. I think there is a little bit of insanity there.
But they're loving it because he's entertaining and 9-2.
Right.
At 2-9, he wouldn't be entertaining.
And maybe he wouldn't do it and nobody, at 2-9.
I think he would.
You think he's still doing?
I think he is he.
Yeah? You don't think he'd tone it down himself?
Well, maybe because he'd be grumpy, but he'd be entertainingly grumpy, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He can't help himself the way he is.
He might be out of a job.
Well, yeah, but for the short period of time, yeah. I think he would be entertaining and say a lot.
When you put that kind of a bullseye on yourself, if you don't win, you're not going to last long. The shelf life is very short on that.
Freddie, you think Gruden's going to go to Miami?
I doubt it.
I want to talk about that. What do you guys think? You don't think so, Freddie?
No, I doubt. Why would he want to go to the college? You know?
Why would he want to go to the college? I don't know. You make just as much money. You have your pick of the litter at Miami. And
think of the babes down there, Freddie.
Yeah, what, is he single?
I don't know.
No, he's not. But
none of them are, and they partake in the babes.
I would be surprised, based on most of what I've read, it seems like this might be a ploy to sort of drum up the interest among NFL teams, kind of scare them into, if they want to express the interest, let's get going. But I just find it very interesting that it's gotten to the point where he's actually in Miami today, right? Or yeah, meeting in Tampa, maybe with Miami officials.
I'd listen. I would hear what they'd have to say.
The very first report said he had the parameters of the contract already. So, not just that they were talking. Sounds like Miami, if he's the guy. If he has any interest, they'll do what it takes to get him, which would be great.
Yeah, Florio says Miami good again. He's Miami's number one choice.
Well, yeah. They made that clear, and I'd like to see it. I'd like to see Miami good. You know, everybody says Notre Dame's good for...
Yeah.
It's good to have Miami good.
Mick from Ireland says slippers are good. Okay.
Okay. Uggs?
Yeah, I don't know. But Joel says, hey, guys. Hi, Eric. I'm looking at the UGG website in some of their boots, and they look okay, but then some of them look kind of, you know.
Randall?
Yeah. I can't imagine men wearing some of them because they look like the same ones the women wear. Their slippers look pretty much like your average slipper, except they're $100 a pair.
Right.
And considering I usually pass Neiman Marcus to get to Walmart, I can't imagine me buying a pair of them anytime soon. Now, I've got to agree with Andy here. Brady is a football god, but he's not a man's man. He just doesn't look rugged enough, I guess. He was the Stetson man for a while, wasn't he? They tried doing that.
Did that work?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Stetson is a real cheap cologne, though. I don't know why he would do that.
Yes, you're correct.
You know?
I don't know that I even have any idea what Stetson... Like, who buys Stetson?
Ted Danson was the Stetson man for a while. Or
no,
he?
But, like, what's their target audience?
Seventh grade boys.
Yeah.
That go to CYO dances.
Because, like, Old Spice, everybody's heard of. It's not expensive, but it's kind of Old Spice. You know, just the average Joe dad wear it. No, I know, but the average dad wears it. Does the average dad wear Stetson?
I don't know.
You know, just a...
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I just told you who wears Stetson.
Seventh grade boys going to CYO dances.
Middle school dances and, you know, and the like.
I thought they wore
it's
like...
It's a very...
So now they, no, now they wear...
Now the, they wear that.
Oh.
No, Hollister is a big one. That's what a lot of them wear. Now on to Monday's...
Now, Axe commercials work. If you watch those commercials, you leave it thinking, wow, if I spray this on me, six hot blondes are going to tackle me and have their way with me.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Back a lot of the, innuendo in those,
back
too.
In the day, there was a cologne called High Karate. And that was the thing. The guy would put the cologne on, and the girls would just start attacking him. And he would have to use karate moves to get him off.
And you bought it?
No, I didn't buy it, but it was a big commercial back then.
But did it sell?
I could always eat your salad.
Yeah, I guess it was, for a while, it was pretty popular.
High karate.
It
sounds like it's the gimmick, the guy in Anchorman, the black.
Yeah, I remember that.
Works the first time, 90% of the time, 100%, whatever it is.
Yeah. You remember about High Karate, Paul? No. On to the game, says Joel. I'm not convinced we can run on them, and I feel we absolutely need to keep Ryan's dogs at bay. If we become one-dimensional, he will turn the dial to blitz, and Brady could have a very long day. Are we going to have Taylor back? I'm picking the Pats, but if Benny and crew can't move the ball on the ground, I think it favors the Jets. So, I don't know about that.
Could be windy, by the way. We're looking at high 20s and wind.
I see no reason why the Patriots won't run out of passing sets like they've done. I don't think they can just line up and run the ball between the tackles. But I think they can gain yards on the ground. But they're going to have to set it up with the pass. That's who this team is. You know, I don't think that.
I agree with Joel, though. I think that's a very important element of the game.
Sure.
If they can't run the ball in conventional running at all, that's a big advantage for the Jets.
But they have to soften them up with the pass.
Yeah, but they have to be able to run the ball between the tackles sometime.
Sometime.
The Patriots.
Yeah.
They're not going to win it doing that, but they have to have
lately.
Oh, yeah. They have to have at least a semblance of balance.
Did I miss that Victoria's Secret show with Katy Perry hosting?
You would actually watch that?
Yeah. As I've told you in the past, Fred, I'm obsessed with breasts.
Yeah, but they barely have them.
What?
They're too skinny.
First of all, not Victoria's Secret, and certainly not Katy Perry.
Katy Perry's our mammoth, and she was, like, hosting it. Did I miss that? Was that last night? Because my boy G-Force tweeted about it.
Jim in Detroit says, biggest game of the year, and you're debating how much of a man Brady is? Unbelievable. And Robert Kraft pays you?
No, actually
he
doesn't.
Even you, Andrew Hart, even you. So
what does that mean, even me?
Let's see. Steve writes in. Where's Steve from? Albany. He says, I'm pumped up for this week's game against the Jets. One issue I have is the praise a lot of people have for the Jets. I just don't see them being as good as people are making them out to be. Yes, you are what your record says you are, but I think that makes the Jets lucky. Ever since this team was blanked by the Packers in New York after the bye week, they were lucky against the Lions after Stafford was injured, and they were lucky against Cleveland on a bonehead fumble. They did manage to come back against the Texans and dominate the Bengals, but can you name a winning team the Jets beat instead of their opponents beating themselves? Additionally,
Patriots.
Do you think the Patriots will make the same mistakes the Jets are used to capitalizing on? Furthermore, I have heard a lot about the pass defense. Yes, it sucks, but is Sanchez able to put up a better game than Manning? I have also heard some folks talking about the Jets' rush defense. Did the Patriots not go into Pittsburgh and put up better rushing numbers than any of their opponents since that time? I am also curious to find out what you guys think about the current Jets team going into Pittsburgh and Chicago. Do you think they'll dominate both those teams? I just don't think this Jets team is as good as everybody says they are. Now cue Paul's rant if it hasn't started already. Andy giggling.
I'm going to disappoint because I don't really have a rant. The Jets have only beaten one team with a winning record all year. That's the Patriots. I don't like using the word lucky as much as some others because I feel like there's an element of luck that goes with all the winning teams. I watched Atlanta and Green Bay, for instance, this past week. I thought Atlanta was extremely fortunate to win that game. It was a lot of luck. I thought Aaron Rodgers, for example, was in the end zone before he fumbled on that quarterback sneak. I thought Mike McCarthy did a terrible job of utilizing his challenges in that game. The Cleveland game, for the Jets, I don't really look at as lucky. I thought they were very unlucky to be in overtime. And I thought they were extremely unlucky to be in the situation they were against Houston, Fred. We were watching that game before our game with Indy. They were up 23-7 in the fourth quarter. I mean, that was a kind of a fluky way to fall behind with that Sean Green fumble and whatnot. The Jets have made plenty of mistakes. Their opponents have made plenty of mistakes. Detroit, they were lucky to win that game. If the kicker doesn't get hurt and they're down 11 instead of 10, that changes a lot of the complexion of the game. But I agree with the overall tenor of you are what your record says you are. And the Jets put a lot of pressure on themselves coming out of the season, coming out of training camp, and they're 9-2. I mean, I find it hard to trash them, even though I hate them with a bloody passion. I mean, they put it all on themselves, and they're 9-2.
Yeah.
They easily could be 11-0. They easily could be 6-5. I mean, that's just the nature of the NFL this year. Everybody is the same.
Marquise in D.C., fellas and Eric, it's been a while. I know I'm 2 weeks late, but being at the Patriots-Colts game was phenomenal. Pats fans actually made some noise for that game. I hope we can do better this week against the Jets. Speaking of scheme, Sanchez is so reliant on that dump-off pass to Tomlinson. What do you think about dedicating Chung to LT and on second and long and third downs? What do you think about that? Having like a shadow
I don't think I
on
like
him,
that.
A spy.
Yeah, I don't think I like that.
My question would be, who are we dedicating to Dustin Keller then?
Well, I'm all for using Chung on Tomlinson if it involves putting a better coverage guy on Keller, because I think Keller's going to kill Chung.
But isn't Chung part of the equation with the tight end? Wouldn't he have to be? I mean, let's face it. The last several games, Chung has been on a wide receiver.
Right.
So
he's been the nickelback.
He's got to be at least a part of the equation on Keller.
Sure.
Listen, I think the Jets create some matchup problems. I think it's a pretty good offense. It's not the offense we remember from last year. They've been scoring points this year.
The Patriots also present matchup problems for them.
But we knew that. I mean, that's constant for everybody. The Patriots have a great offense. I don't think anybody thought that the Jets offense was going to be this good. But I think we all expected the Patriots to be very good offensively.
Yeah, but we expected Randy Moss to be part of it.
Yeah, but they've been very good without him.
The last three weeks, they've been very good.
And I'm not sure. I mean, the Jets' defense is good. If Cromartie and Revis play at their best, you're in trouble. I don't expect Cromartie to be at his best. I think that's a tough matchup for him.
If they win those battles, Andy's right.
Now, is it true that Revis doesn't have an interception this year?
He does not. That's generally how the best corners are. Asamoah is supposed to be the best corner in football, and he rarely has interceptions.
Because they don't go to one.
Right. You go to the other side. Now, the theory was, this year at least, maybe teams with Cromartie there, maybe teams would have to go to him more. But, I mean, he plays Calvin Johnson, and it's one catch for 13 yards. He's Darrell Revis. We got some ASPFW saying he's overrated. I don't think he's overrated. I just think he's damn good.
No.
I think Cromartie is a guy who can be great some weeks, down a little. Revis, to me, is a flat line of great cornerback.
I don't know if it was the last game I saw Revis getting mad at himself because he got beat on like a 8-yard in cut.
Well, he won.
And Rex Ryan was like, it's okay.
No, but he's the kind of guy.
Did you hear Rex Ryan?
But he keeps track of the stats.
I think it might have been that.
I think it was that play. T.O. caught it. It was like literally an 8-yard pass. And Ryan had this smirk on his face. T.O. was, you know, pimping as he normally does. And he goes, that's your longest catch all night.
Right.
Ryan said it was like the fourth quarter.
That's why he's great. Part of it.
Yeah.
You know how they put in the press release, you know, he shuts down opposing number ones. Andre Johnson, 2 for 20. Randy Moss. He keeps track of that in his mind. He wants to be the best ever.
Yeah.
And he equates a catch to and yards to I lose.
Yeah, I give him all the respect he deserves. He's the best in the game right now.
Sure.
I think. One-on-one coverage.
And they ask him to be the best.
Yeah.
They ask him to take away the best.
Yeah.
The question is, who's the best this week? You don't have a number one for New England. You have two guys that
I'll
are
tell
very
you,
good.
Something that worries me, you mentioned Cromartie and how he can kind of be up and down. He tends to really get dialed in for big games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we started in the AFC Championship game in 2007 when he was with San Diego.
But I still think
he came up really big in that game in week two.
I think he's physically capable. He's not as quick. He's not as shifty as Welker and Branch.
I think
he's
that's not his strength.
In the modern day to match up with
a bigger physical receiver,
yep. A Randy Moss, and Andre Johnson. Down the field, big guy fighting for the ball in the air. It's not 6 yards fighting for the ball on an in cut. And I think if he is dialed up, he could get burnt. Welker could turn, all of a sudden he goes for a play and Welker turns a 6-yard catch into 26 yards.
He misses
yards.
One, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's something.
I think that's a huge matchup advantage for the Patriots. Their small receiver on Antonio Cromartie.
Yeah, I don't think it's as big of an advantage as you do. I think
they don't maximize that.
I think the edge goes to the Patriots. Whoever Cromartie covers, Branch or Welker will have the edge. I just don't think it'll be as big an edge.
Well, I'm going to say right here, if you're not talking about next week how the Patriots dominated that matchup, I think you lose. I think that's the key to this game. Just like I think for the Jets, if you're not talking about how Holmes dominated against the Patriots secondary, you lose.
Right.
I think those two guys are the key matchups.
Mark writes in, just wondering what your thoughts are in general about Brandon Spikes and specifically his effect on this game. I know he struggled on play action, but I think the threat of the run game against the Jets will put him into heavy duty this week. Thanks and love the show.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. Because when the Jets run a lot, and Tomlinson is their leading rusher, he's also their leading receiver, I think that's a better match. I think you'd see a lot of Gary Guyton this week. I think this is more of a Guyton game. Because when Tomlinson's in there, he's obviously a threat to catch it out of the backfield at any time. I think that's a better matchup for Guyton. Now, if Sean Green runs on the field, maybe you have something where you're changing personnel and you see Sean Green in the game. Maybe he's part of those packages and he runs on when Sean Green runs on the other side, maybe. But I think you may see more Guyton this game than Spikes.
Jim from Detroit. Hey, guys, and Eric. I hope you guys had a good time.
Why do you blow by that? It's truly a classic. It's part of the show. It's the fabric of our being.
I hope you guys had a good time in Detroit, the city I used to call home, and wasn't too terribly disappointed in the scenery outside of the central hub.
Paul, I had a blast on boneless buffalo wings.
I had a blast at the game and watching the team I call my favorite on Thanksgiving. On to my question. Why is Aaron Hernandez received a decreased role in the offense? It seems as if Gronkowski has turned into the new Hernandez in the offense. Is this because Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, shares the same Andy Hart man crush, or just because we're mixing up the scheme?
Yeah, Bill and I like talent. So, yes, we do have the same type of
man crush. It's a good question.
I think he's a more versatile player in terms of protection and catching. And I think that's been key against the likes of Pittsburgh, where you have a pass rush that's dangerous.
And you want to run the ball.
Freeney and Mathis, if you're asking somebody to help out, I'd rather have him help out. And we saw him help out on Freeney and absolutely kill him. I think that's a matchup issue. I also think people underrated him coming into the year as what he can be as a pass catcher. I think he's capable of the 26-yard catch down the seam every time he steps on the football field, each and every time. So I don't think people wanted to slot him into more blocker, less catcher. There's a reason he was taken in the second round, and in my opinion, was the best tight end in the draft. He can do both at an elite level. So I don't think there. And then there's also the reports that Chris Gasper apparently reported that they were a little down on Hernandez because he felt a little too good about himself for scoring twice in a debacle in Cleveland. So is there any kind of message or behind the scenes? I don't know. But I think football-wise, Gronkowski's just a better all-around player.
I agree with everything Andy said, but I'm still a little surprised that Hernandez's role has been as diminished as
drops.
It was.
He's also had the dropsies a little bit.
No, listen, no one's perfect.
But I do think you could see him on the field more, maybe Tate less in the coming weeks. Because I think the Tate experiment, if he's not going to catch the ball down the field when they do take those chances, I think Tom Brady will say, why do we have him on the field?
Yeah.
He's not running my little 7-yard slant, so why do we have him on the field? Maximizes his opportunities much.
Brady is great because he expects perfection. He's looking for it. And when a guy's open, you got to catch the
ball.
Well,
he's your phrase. He doesn't suffer fools or whatever.
Right.
If you're going to make foolish plays on the field, then get the hell off my field.
Yeah.
I'll bring somebody else on who can make plays.
And that's why I mentioned if they do play Hernandez and split him out wide, which they did often in the first meeting, that maybe you'll see Cromartie, which is more physically what you were talking about with Cromartie, probably a better matchup for him.
Now you have Kyle Wilson on.
That even opens the door even bigger. Really, Kyle Wilson's role has been diminished the last few weeks. Drew Coleman's been out there. You know, they've been using the safeties a lot, Leonard and Smith, Brodney Poole a little bit. You know, the key to me
with that stance, whoever the off receiver is, whoever's not lined up with Revis, Branch, and Welker has to win this game. You have to have a big.
But my point about this is, I think Welker had
whoever
a game.
Whoever it's on,
right?
Cromartie or
Welker had a game
Coleman.
Last year against the Jets where he caught, I think, 15 for like 140, something like that. I think the Jets, that's a little high, okay. But I think the Jets are okay with that. That he's the leading receiver, 15 for 140. Rex Ryan's not okay with. But if it's 9 for 100 and he doesn't get in the end zone, I think he'd be okay with it.
Sure.
And that's dominating the matchup, but I don't know how much that's going to end up being.
No, obviously,
dominant for
I'm
the
not
Patriots.
Saying they win it single handedly. If he gets it down the field, then Gronkowski has to score in the red zone or whatever. Benny has to punch it in. But I don't think he'll get down the field if you don't win that matchup.
And if in the end, if they're around 24 points. I think the Jets would take that. I think the Jets feel if they can keep the Patriots in the low 20s, under 25, that they should be able to win.
I agree. I think this is a good test to see how much better the Patriots offense has become since the beginning of the season.
Sure.
This is it right here.
Or how much worse the Jets defense has gotten as the season's gone on because we've seen it. We've seen it every week. Teams are throwing the ball on them. Teams are moving the ball in crucial situations. As Andy pointed out, they're just not getting there with the pass rush anywhere near as effectively, and they have to do that overload blitz to get any pressure
because
they're not getting anything without blitzing.
Yeah.
And you do that to Tom Brady, and you're picking your poison.
Which, by the way, I don't want to spin ahead too far, but color me concerned with the Bears matchup the more I think about it.
Oh, yeah.
No, but very, very concerned.
Well, it's a huge
trap
game. The
Bears defense is playing great.
Bear
the Patriots' offense is their strength.
You can put that cover together
now. You beat the Bears' offense by getting pressure on Cutler. That's how they've sucked.
Right.
When they've sucked, there's been pressure. Well, I don't care how sucky their O-line is. It's been better of late. Patriots aren't getting pressure. And if you give Cutler time, he makes plays down the field.
Well, here's the thing about that. And we have plenty of time to
talk
about
it. I might be picking the Bears, just so you know, on the road.
I use that theory against Pittsburgh. well, you know, the Pittsburgh offensive line stinks. They can't protect Roethlisberger, but we don't get any pressure, and we got pressure. So maybe,
like it or not,
against that offensive line, maybe the Patriots will get pressure.
They won't.
You know, and the other thing that I keep in mind is, and I don't know for sure exactly what Chicago's doing defensively, but they've traditionally been, with Lovie Smith, a Tampa 2.
Right.
And that's fish in a barrel for Brady.
Maybe.
And I know they're playing well. I know
Unless
they have a lot of
fish in a barrel for
defense.
Julius Peppers.
But you know what they'll do. They'll take him out because they'll target
if
him.
If they don't show up like the Pittsburgh defense didn't show up, like San Diego's defense doesn't show up, and they drop Peppers into coverage, then
well,
I'll
San
take the
Diego's
Patriots.
Defense was very good.
No, not this year. I'm saying in general. When Sean Merriman, everybody, you know, Sean Merriman and Sean Phillips are going to get after Brady, and they don't. They drop into coverage, just like James Harrison drops into coverage. If they get Julius Peppers to drop into coverage and not get in Matt Light's ear, then I'll take the Patriots.
Yeah, I think that's we can put the cover all together for that one. Bear trap.
See, I don't think it's a trap game because I think the Bears are too good to be considered a trap game. Going on the road to face a 7-8-3 team,
But a letdown after such an emotional win Monday night.
We'll see.
I just think they could lose in a bad spot.
Only on
so
PFW in progress can you put the win in the book.
Right.
For the big game.
Right.
And be concerned about
well,
the next one.
Zach writes
I'll put this one in the books, and I think you lose to the Bears on the road. And you'll regret it later.
Zach writes in,
maybe
it's just me. I'll take that trade-off.
You will?
Beat the Jets and lose to the Bears? Yeah. Hell yeah.
How about just beat both?
Zach writes
well,
in.
Well, now you're tied with three games left, and the division's up for grabs. I think the Patriots would have the tiebreaker in that scenario. But if the Patriots lose to... If their loss after beating the Jets is a division
Miami,
game,
right.
Miami or the Bills,
right.
Then you would lose it.
Right.
Packers and who?
For who?
Ravens?
For who?
Jets.
The Jets lost to? Yes.
Both AFC. No, one of them AFC team. Yeah.
And the Patriots have lost to two AFC teams.
But they would also have another loss. The Jets would have another conference loss coming if they lost to the Jets, if they lost to the Patriots.
Yeah, but... Oh, they would
forget
have
about
two.
That.
It's... You know, this is one thing I actually agree with Felger. You get a popsicle headache when you talk about this stuff this early.
I never agree with Felger.
The division records would be the same. The common opponents would be the same, depending you know on how it unfolds. And the conference records, I think it goes down to strength of victory.
Zach writes
which is a moving finish line.
Maybe it's just me, but has Logan Mankin's conduct since his return made you think he really is a top-notch character and talent?
Hasn't changed one thought of mine.
When
on
he
Logan
called
Mankins.
Management liars, I really questioned it and thought the guy was as greedy as everyone else. But since his return, we've dominated 11 out of 12 quarters against the three teams we faced. The fourth quarter of the Colts game, we got smoked. Our running game has only gotten better.
You got smoked in all four quarters in the first game he played.
Our running game has only gotten better, and the offense has been near unstoppable. I think between the team's overall performance, what looks like a more dominant O-line and Mankin's complete silence and deference to the team's needs over his own, I think he is making a real strong argument for why we should make re-signing him a priority. What are your thoughts on this as well as the implications for the draft if we do or do not re-sign him?
My thoughts have not changed one bit on Logan Mankins. I never had one single doubt about him as a football player, as a teammate, as a leader, anything.
I would do
now if you don't value him at 50 whatever million.
Well, see, it's back to our conversation from yesterday.
But it has nothing to do with anything other than money for me. If you think he's worth the money, you pay it. But he's one of the best guards in football. He's one of the toughest, most durable, reliable players in football. He's a great teammate. Everybody loves him. There is no black cloud over anything he does. There's no black mark on anything he does other than he wants to be paid among the two highest paid
he
players in the game.
He competes like crazy, too. I mean, he is so competitive.
He could play for me any day.
And especially now with Neil missing the last three games, you see his importance.
Tracy in Vegas says, Andy, I know of no hot blondes that would ravage a guy, even you, that was wearing Axe. None.
I just said the commercials make you believe that would happen.
And Strippers has some breaking news for those of you who care. Cam Newton has been ruled eligible by the NCAA.
Wow.
So that, like, closed door eligible?
I would assume. Why would they come out and say he's...
Yeah. TG and NJ...
I care about that, Strippers.
So will they have Bo at New York to actually give him the Heisman, you know, one Auburn player to the next? Because I'll have to watch if that's the case. Me and the guy from Nesson.
TG and NJ says, you guys are looking at this game from all angles, and it's great to hear you talk football.
Screw you.
But you haven't mentioned Danny Woodhead's impact on this game. How do the Jets defend him? Is he a matchup problem?
Didn't we talk about running out of passing sets?
Fred talked about it.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't
Fred's
mention specifically
but that's
Woodhead.
That's what you're talking about.
That's who we meant.
Yeah.
He is the guy.
Because I don't think they'll have much success lining it up in traditional running sets. I think
is Taylor going to play?
I think your point is more accurate, Freddie. Spread him out, run out of those
things. Is
Taylor
going to play, or is he just going to be DMPCD?
I think he'll play. Nothing to base it on, but I think it doesn't make much sense to continue to activate guys and not play them. Do you think?
No. I didn't think it made much sense the day they did.
How much do you think Woodhead's going to help them from the intelligence standpoint?
I think significantly.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I do. Fred, Andy's scoffing at me.
I'm not a big believer in that stuff.
I think that this is a guy who spent a lot of his time preparing the Jets and for what they wanted to do and what they, you know, what they countered and did things. He was a practice player. Practice was very big for Danny Woodhead in his time with the Jets. So I think that he might have stuff now.
But was he practicing
It's 10 or 12 weeks later, but you have to know how that works. You have to know everything when you're in those roles. You have to know different positions, different schemes.
No, I know.
He knows what the Jets are doing. Now,
I think the Patriots know what the Jets are doing. I really don't buy into
the only question is a lot of time has passed. That was week 2. This is week 13.
I think aside from a couple little things, Bill Belichick could tell you as much about any offense they face as any player he acquired from that team. I mean, I have that much faith in Bill Belichick's preparation, knowledge, files.
I was surprised that Bill didn't shoot it down when asked about it, that Bill was so forthcoming, saying, yeah, we're pumping him for information. I was surprised by that. Were you?
A little bit.
Well, you know obviously why? He does it so that they think about it.
It's not true. It's meaningless. That's why he's doing it.
It's out there so that the Jets will think about it.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Strippers. ACAA rules, Auburn quarterback Cam Newton.
I think he's hoping the Jets do what he did against the Jets. Overreact, screw up, and lose the game before it starts, like they did when they went to whiteboards and wristbands and all that crap. They outthought themselves. I think he wants Rex Ryan to outthink himself.
Chris from Stanford, hey guys, solid show today. I still don't understand and probably never will understand why rushing Arrington is a good idea. I'll ask this question not in an I told you so way that many listeners are wont to do, Eric, but because I actually want to know the answer. Is the New England offense better now than it was several weeks ago?
Yes.
On Thanksgiving, they looked awesome, but I doubt a flailing Detroit team is a good enough measure. Lost in that whole argument is the incredible downfall of Randy Moss. Seriously, he's gearing up to be the subject of an ESPN 30 by 30 in a few years. I feel sorry for him if I could forget that he'd promised to play out his contract with the New England Patriots. So
he technically played it out. They traded his contract.
I mean, they did trade him. I mean, it's not like he demanded to be traded.
I think there's no doubt that they are a better offense now than they ever were this season. And, the pieces are starting to come into place. Whether it's Bill O'Brien or Belichick, they're figuring out how to use these guys, who can do what, what's the best position to put certain guys in.
I think they're the same.
What's that?
I think they're the same in terms of production, but just different.
I just think they're more efficient now than they were.
Yeah. They scored 30-plus every game without him, and they scored 30-plus every game with him.
You know, at the beginning of the season, a lot of those points were not coming on offense.
And a lot of them haven't come on offense now. But they're very productive.
They are.
I think that there's been no change. There's been no drop off at all the last 3 weeks.
I think you can look at it, and I think you can see that Brady's more comfortable.
Listen,
with
I'm the one who had the big argument with Andy that they'd be fine. We had the big point counterpoint, and I got made fun of. You don't have to sell me on this offense. I figured that once Branch got comfortable, that they wouldn't skip a beat. But it's been different, but the same. It's been different the way they do it, but they're just as productive as they were with Moss.
TG and NJ says, are they going to make Uggs with NFL team logos? Andy's man's man might be interested. Signing Brady is completely separate from
the league.
Being able to use logos.
I mean, you could do a deal with the league just doing a deal with the league,
right?
Not related. Because Crocs has a deal with the league, right? There's Patriots Crocs.
Are there?
I believe I saw Mr. Kraft wearing them once.
I don't know.
Then I'll cheese it on my views on Crocs then. I didn't realize that.
Brady's are in the news, by the way. Did you see some photos of his wife were circulating the internet yesterday?
No.
Oh, for God's sake, Andy.
Josh, not the kind they want out there.
Josh,
are they real?
And don't lie. You didn't see that.
You didn't see it?
No.
You're so full of it.
I didn't.
It's purported to be. Is that the word, purported?
Yeah.
When you don't sure if it's true.
Right.
His wife changing in the back of a minivan with the door open.
Oh.
And photos of her stuff.
And various stages of undress.
Yeah, well.
But I always just want, immediately you say, is it real? I mean, well, on two levels you say, is it real and are they real? But Photoshop these days, you are automatically
It's probably
assume.
Not as big a deal for her
you know.
Oh, I'm sure she's changed in front of 8 billion people in her life, but you still don't do it in public, right?
Yeah. I guess not. I certainly don't want her doing it if I'm her husband.
Right. I mean, if you're Brady, now all your teammates were on the internet going, whoa, I saw your wife's boobs. Sweet. Awkward.
Josh in Jacksonville says, I know yesterday you mentioned that Fred Taylor might not play for the rest of the season. Do you think you can shed a little light?
We didn't say that.
We were asking about Stephen Neal not playing for the rest of the year. At what point do you cut bait with him?
Oh, well, he's saying if no injuries to current back. So, in other words.
But we didn't. I fully expect Fred Taylor to
First of all, I expected him to play about 2 weeks earlier than he even became active. And he was active, I assumed he'd play.
Because why bother
him? Paul and I have written the lead note in our notebook for the paper like 3 weeks in a row before the game, assuming Taylor was going to play, and then had
and
to
we
erase
had to change it.
Do you think you can shed a little light on who will be the featured back moving forward? Do you think Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis is about to lose his job because Fred Taylor has returned from injury?
No.
No.
I think he's about to lose his job because he'll be replaced by a free agent and or a rookie.
I mean, next year, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he'll be all right for this year, but I don't think he'll be the long-term answer.
Chris with a TIAN says, what is Bill Belichick thinking? Well, he's thinking, I have no one who can get to the quarterback, so I might as well try something, talking about Arrington.
Yeah.
Belichick was mic'd up for the Indy game, and when Manning completed one of his two TD passes to Blair White, he said, where's the pass rush? Well, Bill, the pass rush is out there somewhere in the draft or free agency. I mean, how long are we going to talk about getting a guy who can get to the quarterback? It's been like 5 years. I'm with you guys. Arrington would be much more effective coming off the edge in some type of zone overload blitz. And by the way, I have a pair of black UGG slippers.
Oh, who's this? Christian?
Christian.
Slippers.
Oh, slippers.
Slippers.
Oh, okay.
I have something that Christian brought up that Bill was mic'd for that game. I saw something.
I saw that.
Very interesting. One of my buddies wrote me about at the end of the Colts game after the Sanders pick that won the game. It was 31 seconds left. Indy had two timeouts. Everybody's going crazy on the Patriots sideline. Evidently, Bill was screaming in the headsets to Ernie. Well, all right to take a knee here. You know, I assume Ernie Adams. Right. You know, the computing the clock management.
Right.
You know, I just thought an interesting side element of what goes into play on the sidelines.
The genius behind the genius.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously, with two timeouts and less than 40 seconds left, you're safe. You're not going to have to punt there. Even if, you know, if they had three timeouts, then that's different.
Right. So Bill had to ask that?
Well, yeah, my guess is that he wants to make sure he has the situation right. He's not misreading the scoreboard. He's not misremembering how many timeouts they had.
No, I know, but I think that's one of those where if it's Herm Edwards asking the same question, they mock
killed.
Him. You need somebody to tell you the answer to that?
Yeah.
But because he's Bill Belichick, he's so smart. He has a guy that can confirm it for him.
Well, I'm somewhere in the middle there. You know, I don't think he's a genius because he asked a question, but I do think it shows you that rather than get caught up in the euphoria of the game's over, you know, let's celebrate, he's immediately thinking, is the game in fact over? And let's make sure that it is before we get too caught up
in
it.
I mean, Jim Mora did that in Atlanta, didn't he? Didn't he go to the phone and call somebody to see if they made the playoffs or not? He got mocked forever.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Didn't that happen, Fred?
Yeah, but no, I think it is interesting.
You're probably right. I don't know.
He went to the little phone and called somebody to check on something, and he was, like, mocked for it.
Look, I think it's good for every team
coach, but
to have a guy who is specifically keeping track of those types of things.
I'll tell you, that's another thing that I
don't
think.
The guy has to be good, too.
He has to be good.
That's another thing I don't think is a strength for Rex Ryan, is clock management and use of challenges and things like that.
Maybe he doesn't have a guy to call.
Maybe not.
Who was it in Washington? Joe Gibbs was unaware of a certain rule.
The timeout, timeout rule, right? Or no, the kicker timeout rule or something.
They called two timeouts in a row, I think, before a game-winning field goal.
Yeah.
Second one resulted in a personal foul, which made a 50-yarder like a 35-yarder.
You know, so
something like that.
Scott says, what if the Pats took someone at this year's draft like the experts said we should, Sergio Kindle, and the Jets took McCurdy? The Jets would be set at cornerback, and the Pats at cornerback would be thinner than Eric's little black book. When I see the way McCurdy plays and the way he carries himself, I see a young Mike Haynes. Not that he is there yet, but the potential seems to be limitless okay, Paul, now you can unload on me.
No,
granted,
not
he
at
has
all.
Played well, but the
bit
let's
of a trend
not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, but when you guys
with
when
all right,
guys,
Paul, make fun of me.
When you guys bring it, man, I have nothing to come. That's
take
I,
a stand. Who's with
I'm
me?
With
I say he's the next Mike Effin Haynes.
I like the way he's played the last month and a half.
Mike Haynes
is
one
lot.
Of the greatest corners in NFL history.
Yeah, but he said, I'm not ready to do it yet.
He just said he's the next effing
well,
Mike Haynes.
He thinks he's the next one. He's not there yet.
So he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Well, listen.
I mean, that's what I read from that. They
some
think
guys
he's a Hall
are
Famer.
Unafraid of having
I truly,
strong opinions.
Yeah, like I thought Sam
right.
Bradford would be a Hall of Famer.
Right.
And I
same
believe
thing.
That. Does he really
the
believe
the
that?
The other thing, Mike
yeah,
Haynes
same
did.
Thing.
Mike Haynes also returned punts.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, I think you were talking about his cornerback.
Well, he plays special teams. He just is great in a different role.
I think, and we talked about McCourty yesterday in terms of the idea about drafting the cornerback, but...
We did, or you ranted?
Yeah, I ranted. You guys agreed.
When you let us. When you took a breath and allowed us to speak
what?
On your show again.
Who? I'm with the emailer, because I think a lot of people, myself included, didn't like the idea of taking a cornerback. If they did not take the cornerback... We'd be talking a lot differently right now.
Yeah, we wanted.
Yeah, but if we had Sergio Kindle and he didn't fall down the stairs and he was making,
but your
16
secondary
sacks,
would be that much worse.
Really? We'd be giving up
yes.
500 yards instead of 400.
With Darius
yeah,
Butler
but
and
Butterfly
Kyle Arrington
effect,
playing,
Lee Bodden wouldn't have gotten hurt,
and Sergio Kindle would have 16 sacks. It, maybe your coverage is worse, right. But your pressure is better.
You really believe that?
No, but I can pretend it. If you can pretend the secondary would suck more than it sucks now.
Wait a minute. So I'm pretending that Kyle Arrington and Darius Butler playing together would be worse than Kyle Arrington and Devin McCourty? And that's a stretch?
Could be LeBodden.
No, he got hurt. He's out.
But butterfly effect. You don't know if he's
hurt.
In my scenario,
Sergio
Kindle doesn't fall down the stairs in my scenario. Because if he falls down the stairs and you don't have McCourty, now you're screwed.
But that's a logical thing, because he may not have been in the same place.
Why, was he at a
Lee
Ravens
Bodden
place?
Would have been exactly in the same place that he was when he got hurt.
You don't know that. Butterfly effect. Can't disprove a disprobation.
Umar, anyway, I'm with the emailer.
Okay, Umar.
The last 5 or 6 weeks, Devin McCourty has been at an incredibly high level.
Umar in Provo, Utah is on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Or Provo.
What's going on? Am
Provo,
I pronouncing your name
Utah.
Hello,
correct?
Guys.
Is it Omar?
Hey. Yeah, that's right. Umar.
Umar, okay.
I called you a few weeks ago before the game at Cleveland.
Yes.
Remember?
Yeah, that was a good game after you called.
So you're to blame.
So you're the jinx.
No, what was the game before Cleveland? Do you guys remember?
Paul does.
No, I don't.
Vikings.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, that one we won, and after that we lost the next one, which sucked. But that's okay. Hey, I'm just surprised. So you guys don't believe in Sully Bentekane and Cunningham as pass rushers?
Evidently, Bill
not so
doesn't.
Much. Well, we've always thought Tully was like a good rotational guy, sub guy, that he was never the guy. You know, the phrase I've always said is there's guys that are 10 sack guys and guys that got 10 sacks. He got 10 sacks. He's not a 10 sack guy.
Oh, I see. Okay. And how about McCourty? Are you guys still disappointed Belichick picked him first round?
I was never disappointed
that they picked him.
We were only disappointed that we didn't get an edge rusher. I'll be honest. I was disappointed.
I thought he was the best cornerback available when they picked him. I was surprised they took a cornerback. That was all.
Okay, yeah, but now we have to admit that we have to change our mind. I was just like you guys. I mean, I was listening to you live during the draft, and I guess you were just like me, disappointed, depressed that he was trading down and he picked McCourty, but it turns out to be a great pick. The guy is a stud.
Well, yeah, he's a great pick. He's playing great as a corner, but it doesn't make us wrong. The pass rush sucks. Yeah. He's using cornerbacks as an edge rusher. We wanted an edge rusher. Maybe Kyle Arrington wouldn't be playing edge rusher right
and
now.
And as great as he's been, and I agree, like I just said, the last 5 or 6 weeks he's been at an incredible level. They can't stop anybody. They're at the bottom of the league on third downs. They're at the bottom of the league in passing yards allowed. So for all of what he's done for you, you're having a really hard time stopping people.
Okay, so who did we miss then? Who would do you want to
do? I don't think they missed anybody. I think he was a great pick.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, Kindle is the wild card. He's the guy that we talked about. He hasn't played. He may never play. He may never be the same after breaking his skull and everything, falling down the stairs. He was the guy we kind of liked.
Guys are resilient nowadays. They come back from these things, Sandy.
Oh, I see. Okay, all right then. Hey, thanks for taking my call, and I agree with you guys.
No, we like McCourty a lot. We're with you, Umar.
Oh yeah, he has 5 picks as a rookie.
That's right. And he's not done yet.
Yep.
All right,
okay, Umar.
Umar. from Provo, Utah.
The Jinx.
Provo.
Bravo. The guy. He was the guy from France, Freddie. He's just in Provo, Utah.
Oh, he's just vacationing?
Oh, now I remember idea. Him. I remember that guy from France.
I don't remember Umar from
I never remember anybody
Provo,
from Utah calling
But
us.
I remember the guy from France. I bet you he wears Uggs.
TG and NJ says, okay, Paulie,
no deodorant.
If Woody is good intel for the Pats, is Crable good intel for the Jets?
Well, yeah, probably. Probably. I mean,
I said
a couple of weeks ago that there's no doubt in my mind that that was why that they picked him up.
Yeah.
When the Patriots let him go, that's why the Jets picked him up. But I don't know. Andy's going to poo-poo all of the intel talks. So,
well, I also not sure Sean Crable was the brightest bulb on the tree.
Maybe he'll give him info and it'll be all wrong.
That's possible.
Yeah.
And he certainly doesn't know what package they run with Kyle Arrington as the main pass rusher.
I mean, it's going to sound awfully stereotypical, but I certainly would think they're going to get more out of Woodhead in that regard than the Jets will get out of Crable.
What do you mean by that, Paul?
I think that Woodhead is a cerebral player, and I don't think
Crable
was.
Oh, interesting. Does he have a high motor, too?
I said it's a stereotypical comment. What do you want me to say? I fell into the stereotype.
Archie writes in.
Archie!
Just writing in to say I think Arrington will be used to chase down quarterbacks that get outside the pocket. The Pats D-line and outside linebackers are too slow to chase quarterbacks outside the pocket. They never catch them before they get yards or throw the ball down the field.
The trouble is, that's not really how he's being deployed. He's being used as a speed-based edge rusher. If he succeeds, he's going to force him out of the pocket and won't be in position to chase.
Right.
It's not like he's hesitating a minute to react to the quarterback and then I'll chase him down. He is initiating.
He's not
going to
do much if a guy weighing over 300 pounds sits on him.
Or knees him in the stomach.
Here's where we get back to. You are really more down on this than the rest of
us. You are.
You're borderline offended.
I think Andy and I are searching for answers as to what Bill is thinking.
Right. So am I.
You are completely disgusted.
So am I.
I'm with the emailer from originally. Was it Thomas? Who had the email about
Pittsburgh
this.
Thomas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking for those.
So
him.
Am I.
He presented a lot of reasons why he might be thinking,
yeah.
Some of which I disagreed with, but you seem to be completely disgusted with it.
I just want answers. All right?
There are no answers.
I want someone to explain to me what I should be looking for.
And I'm not sure he knows exactly what he's going to get, what the end game can be. That's why I really believe part of it is just what we had wasn't working. Yeah. So it can't be worse. Let's take a flyer on this and try. Right?
I guess, but after they did and it didn't work, they kept doing it.
And it looked better last week. To me. Maybe it didn't to you.
I don't know.
Not to me either.
But
Fred,
you're a bit.
I'm with you.
You lack objectivity in this area because you're clearly.
I'll give you this.
You want it
he
to
stayed
fail.
On his feet
How about
longer.
That? He lacks objectivity.
Well, he wants it to fail because he's so angry
no!
that it's stupid.
I want it to work.
Why would you want it to fail?
Because he seems personally offended that Bill is trying this. Doesn't he? The way he ranted the first night
you
and
do.
Yelled. And
when they first started doing that and we realized it was not like a blitz
right,
and it was a regular thing, you had the throw-up face.
But
on.
Worse than
disgusted.
That, that's in the press box. He never took the steps forward to say, if Bill's doing it, there's got to be a good reason.
Yeah,
we haven't reached that point yet.
We didn't get the cursed 48-hour
right.
rule
well,
never
now we
came
got
into play.
2 weeks later and he still hates
I've
it.
I've yet to see the reason. That's all I'm saying.
So when he gets a sack, you'll be okay with it?
No, because, I mean, if you do it
he's
long
gonna
enough,
get a,
he's going to get a sack.
If they keep using him the way that he's going to get there. I mean,
maybe.
If they know? Just,
But
if,
I also
if
think
they
if you do the same amount
to,
of times with
right.
Jermaine Cunningham, he'll get a sack
right.
too.
How many sacks does he have?
And he's taller. He could block a pass. He could do a lot of other things.
If they just ask
Did he
Kyle
do those
Arrington.
Things?
I think he was starting to. We all said
he
was. He
made like three plays. Let's not.
Okay.
I mean, we were looking for positive
okay,
signs.
Okay, three plays.
But. Well, when Arrington has the number of reps that Cunningham got in the first nine games, then we'll compare.
But they're just asking
okay.
Arrington. They're just telling Arrington, just put your hand on the ground and go after the
right.
quarterback every play.
Right.
I don't think they're doing that with the other guys.
To Cunningham some plays? He
some
was in that
yeah,
role.
Yeah, some
so
plays, yes.
The role
not
that
every play.
Arrington, no, I know. But we're not. I'm not compare. I don't want to compare Arrington setting the edge or tackles on run or any of that. The opportunities he has his hand in the dirt and they're asking him to go get it, compare those reps to Cunningham's when they reach the same number.
Right.
And we'll see what happens.
Well, what's that number, do you think?
I don't know.
I don't think it's that high.
92 snaps.
You can always count on Andy to come up with a number.
Fred,
64%.
Quick off-track question. Did you know that the same guy created the illustrations for Santa Claus, Uncle Sam, the donkey and the elephant for the Republicans?
That would be Thomas Nast?
Could be. Yeah. I forgot the name. I thought it was Tate, but it might be Nast.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Like, he was a big...
But no one knows the name, and he's as influential as... I mean, think
I know
of how many
name.
Images you see of Santa Claus on a daily basis.
I think
right
it was
now.
Thomas Nast.
And he created it.
Yeah.
I mean, he used the Night Before Christmas as his basis, but he created the image that has become universal as Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And as Uncle Sam.
Yeah, he was
And the
incredible.
Donkey.
I think that's the guy.
That's so... Such a lasting memory, but it's not like Ford. You
know,
don't have any.
You know who would know is Eric.
No, he wouldn't. Yeah. No, I guarantee he wouldn't. These are the things I go to him and he goes,
I'm
I had
Andy.
No idea.
I'm with Andy.
Somebody
on
check me out on that. I believe Thomas Nast.
He would
N-A-S-T.
Know the guy who created like the French version of it.
And did you know the first Christmas lights? There were 24 bulbs on it.
Yeah.
From Edison, sold for $12, which is the equivalent of $285 today for one little set of Christmas lights.
Wow.
Imagine that.
I remember my dad brought home the Bomar Brain. Now, do you know what this is? This is the first...
Brett Bomar?
This is the first handheld calculator that was sold in stores. All it did was add, subtract, multiply, and divide.
Oh, I think we had one
and
of those in elementary
$200.
School.
$200.
Freddie, Thomas Nast is considered like the father of American cartoons when I looked him up.
But is that him? Did he draw Santa Claus and Uncle Sam and...
Was it that thing that you're talking about, was it kind of like on... Like legs and had like a little flip-up plastic.
No. Okay. It was just basically the same size, maybe a little bigger than the current calculators, but that's all it did.
Because we had a little calculator-type machine, and I remember like second or third
it's called
grade.
Called an abacus back when you were.
Yeah, you're right. It was him.
That's amazing to have
what,
such
that
an
Fred
impact.
Knew it? No. See, I think it's amazing that Fred had the name correct.
Did you see the first Apple got auctioned off the other day?
Yeah.
And you didn't actually get the computer. You got, like, the components and had to build a wood box put it together.
Wow.
And it came with a letter from Forbes. Is that him? Jobs?
Steve Jobs.
That said, like, Forbes. If you have any problems, give me a call. Here's my home phone number.
It's
like,
the customer service line?
Yeah, it's his home line.
Freddie was in 1863 in Harper's Weekly magazine.
Yeah, but, I mean, I just find that amazing, that one guy. You think of iconic images. Santa Claus, Uncle Sam.
No, he was big. He was big.
But no one knows him.
Boss Tweed, all those guys.
Who the hell is Boss Tweed?
He created the whole, like you know, bearded, fat, plump guy, illusion.
See, I didn't
but
realize
no one knows
that was,
his name.
I didn't realize that was created by somebody. Yeah. I just thought that was kind of...
He also did
There are multiple...
I suppose, thinking about it, someone had to have been
there,
the first.
There's images in history. Like, German had, like, Santa Claus, and there was, like, different...
Kris Kringle.
But no one had culled it all together to bring the guy you see now in the red suit with the puffy and the black and the buckles. And that's him.
He did Uncle Sam and the...
You just said that, you dumb
or, no, but the...
He created
but
the elephant for the Republican Party.
I just said that, you dumb
And the donkey for the Democratic Party.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Tammany
I just
Hall.
Said that.
Yep.
He's not kidding, Paul.
Are you not kidding?
That's the guy.
Are you
I
not
hate
kidding?
You guys.
Really?
I'm not taking part.
I don't pay attention to him anymore.
Friend.
So.
Yeah, you do Facebook in there. I thought you had hard to work. I saw you on Facebook for a half hour.
I thought
hour.
You were busy with
the
Super Bowl.
I was responding to all the critics for why we didn't do a show yesterday.
That has nothing to do with the Super Bowl.
Getting slayed.
Speaking of, do we have an announcement for next week?
Yes. We'll have a pregame show on Monday.
There we go.
The real pregame show.
So this week, all listeners, listen up.
So start your tailgate early.
Because it's a Monday night home game, and EEI will not be doing Patriots Monday on Monday, we decided we're going to do, or Paul decided. Was Paul's idea?
It was actually Andy's idea.
Andy's idea?
But, you know, you guys usually take
my
ideas and run with
them. We decided to
or
do
I just
a
said,
show.
No, it was Andy's idea.
No, I wouldn't have guessed it was Andy's idea.
The foghorn in the building, which everybody takes credit for.
We're going to do a show on Monday at noon, live, so that'll be cool. Game day show.
Just 2 hours,
a rare
though,
game day
it.
Show.
We're just doing 2 hours, Freddie?
A mere...
Yeah, just 2 hours. We got other things to do.
You think no one else has anything to do?
Yeah, we don't all just go sit and play on Facebook like you do.
Yeah, I have nothing to do on game
I just watch you on Facebook.
Do you want to write the preview for the Bears game?
I would love to.
Because then I'll do 4 hours
you
of radio.
You work hard to not entertain the crowd during game day? Is that how that works?
No. I just enjoy the game on game day.
Chris from a TIAN says...
And you don't have Jake Ingram to chat with anymore.
Soaking it up with you in a hot tub with your soulmate?
Andy, you missed it, says Christian. The show was phenomenal, Victoria's Secret. Breasts everywhere. Katy Perry's chest was jiggling all over the place.
We'll have to do some YouTube later.
Oh. Sometimes they replay it, I think. I'm going to have to look for that replay.
Let's see.
You are a creep.
Eric,
they
Eric
do,
writes
they
in.
They stomp up another and down Eric. The runway, and they just jiggle nicely. Oh.
He's rubbing himself as he talks now, Fred.
He says, this is very
my
funny.
My breast, not my other thing.
Eric says, this is very funny. I know you guys have heard the Patriot bank account commercial.
you know, one of the three commercials you guys have. Well, I have the Patriot logo on my ATM also, and I thought it would be funny to go back, go to the Black Friday stores and yell it out like that guy does on the commercial. Well, I did. And my fiance and I were busting up all morning. We needed it because that early in the morning, everyone's in a bad mood. It worked all the way till we went to go eat breakfast at an IHOP. It seemed that the waitress is a big Jets fan. So she asked me what my problem was. Why do I keep yelling out, "Go Pats!" And I told her about the commercial. And unless you listen to PFW, you don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Once she knew what the hell was going on, she just went with it. So she starts to yell out, "Go Jets!" And it was the funniest thing because once she yelled that, this old lady that was leaving the restaurant looked at my waitress and she tried to yell it, but to do so at her age, it must have been hard to yell. So my waitress asked her, "What was that, ma'am?" And she yelled out, "She said, 'Go Pats!'" We put our leftovers in a box and we split. Love the show. Keep up the good work. So
we just switched the damn commercials, too.
A bunch of people in IHOP yelling, "Go Pats!" And "Go Jets!"
And spitting in his food when he delivered it.
That's eating true. Pancakes.
So that's good. All the other patrons were upset because they were being annoyed, but that's okay. James Pettigrew, the most interesting Patriots fan in the world, writes in.
Checking in about his relations with Brandon Pettigrew.
He says, "Hey, ladies and Andy, Paul, Fred, Kevin, Doc. Now we think we know who the Patriots are. Which scenario would you feel more confident in against the Jets? A, 4 points down with possession on your 20 and 2 minutes left in the game, or 4 points up, the Jets have possession on their 20 and 2 minutes left?"
That's a great question. I mean, I got to go conventional wisdom there. I'd rather the Jets have the ball with you winning by four and make the other team beat you.
I'll go the other way.
That's what you do.
Well, no, I just think this defense is not very good.
But generally, in that situation, they find a way.
And you're the one who told me they can't continue to play that way.
At some point, you got to figure it's going to come back and haunt them. But until it does, I'm going to assume that someone makes a play.
Well, I'll just assume Brady will make a play.
And he says, right? "P.S., please see the picture of my wife and one of the mules. My wife is the one on the right."
My wife is the one on the right.
They're Can both very it? Good looking.
Can I see?
Oh,
what
sure.
is she doing to
it's
the
It's not up. It's not on.
It's not up.
Well, he doesn't have the picture.
I want to see it.
You can wait until after the show.
I don't get the emails.
I'm not going to stop the show so you can run around the table and look at a picture.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk to a jerk like you.
I could say, though, it's a really nice looking ass.
Ready, ladies and gentlemen.
Jordan in London, you guys are the first sports radio I've listened to, and I'm really pleased. I have to say, Andy has changed my life. Calm down, big head. It's not really a compliment. Every time I hear anyone say anything that could be linked to sex in any way, I chuckle. So thanks, Andy, for
and
that.
And you're happier now for it. So you're welcome.
Anyway, my question. With lots of young players on the Pats roster this year, I was wondering what you'd rather have, young players with lots of potential for their entire career or proven Hall of Fame quality players for a shorter period of time. Who would you rather have, McCourty or Asamaga?
Asamoah.
Right, him too.
Asamoah.
Okay. Hernandez or Dallas Clark?
Oh, Hernandez. I hate Dallas Clark.
I'll go Hernandez.
G-Force or Tony Gonzalez?
G-Force.
Right now, yeah.
Cunningham
or DeMarcus Ware?
DeMarcus Ware.
Chung or Polamalu?
Polamalu.
Polamalu.
Yeah. You got to go with that right now.
But I think it's an interesting
philosophical question. Great question. Yep, I agree. Go ahead, Andy.
I would take the Hall of Famers. Proven Hall of Fame. Now, they have to be playing at a Hall of Fame level. What the Redskins do, collect
That's
talent
exactly
late
the
in their
thing
career.
I was going to come up with.
He always has to steal my stuff.
You can add it. You can add it to the list.
Like,
no, I'm
they have to play at a Hall of Fame level for at least, you know,
two, three years,
whatever. Yeah. But, yeah, I would take that because we've seen too many guys with supposed potential that never live up to it. I mean, Darius Butler had great potential.
And when they're done, you can
ago.
Always go get more guys, you know? You can always draft other guys when those guys
No, I know,
done,
but the theory is if the guys you have that are young live up to your potential, you don't worry about getting other guys. You have the guys.
Yeah.
I think Andy's point is as long as they're not, like, in the last year
or
on like, the way, on the, that
like
far
Like John
the way
Lynch
down,
may be a Hall of Famer. But
like, that's why Tony Gonzalez. So, Tony Gonzalez is at the – I mean, he's still a good player. He's still a very good player, but, I mean, the end is near.
How
I don't
effective
want a lot
has
of
Jason
guys.
Taylor been this year?
He's a situational guy.
Not
that's
a
all.
Ton. But
no,
would he help this team? Is that what you're asking?
Absolutely. Yes. I'd rather have him than Jermaine Cunningham.
Is he helping the Jets is my question.
Oh, yeah.
Not great. He's not like a super impact player. he's a good group player on a
He's
good
actually
group.
Played the run better than he normally does for the Jets.
Hey, guys. But you don't think you'd rather put him on the field than Arrington for five snaps a game?
Of course I would. I'm just asking what his contribution has been to the Jets this year.
Not explosive, but contributing.
Hey, guys, and Eric, sorry that it's been a long time since I've written.
Who's this?
Chris from Toronto. I'm looking forward to a big game for the Patriots on Monday night. That being said, I've advised my boss that I may need to take Tuesday off because while I believe that the Jets are capable of winning this game, I'm not emotionally prepared for the Patriots to lose. I think that's the buzzword. That's the phrase that everyone's
using. You created it.
Yeah, that's all you, Freddie.
You coined it.
It seemed to me that in the Colts game, even though the Patriots didn't register any sacks, they did enough on occasion to confuse and or pressure Peyton Manning into making bad decisions. To what extent do you think they might apply a similar approach this week against an inexperienced and at times shaky Mark Sanchez? Hopefully. I mean, that's the plan. P.S., I'm not sure.
I just disagree with it. I don't think they have any pass rush. I don't think that pass rush had anything to do with Manning's picks.
But, no, that's not true, Paul.
I mean, except for the last
one. I thought the last one was affected. Yeah.
The last one, the pass rush affected the throw itself. But I don't think the pass rush confused Peyton Manning. That's all.
Well, do you think it made him...
I mean, was it San Diego's pass rush that caused
him
four picks the
other night? Do you think it made him quicken up his progression or decision-making at all?
In my opinion, no.
Okay.
I just think he's searching for it right now.
Chris says, P.S., I'm not sure if any of you caught this, but after the Lions game, Jim Nantz and Phil Simms were interviewing Tom Brady to present him with the All-Iron Award and talk about the game. At the close of the interview, Brady gave Thanksgiving shout-outs to his mother, father, and sister, and was about to remove his headset and leave before a horrified look came over his face for the briefest of moments, and he quickly added, "Oh, and my wife!" I just had a laugh, especially when I recalled Andy's theory about who wears the pants in that relationship. So
now it's who wears the Uggs.
I know Brady had to hurry to get out of town after the game, so he was definitely on his way somewhere.
But he did that. Where did he do that recently? He's thanked his mom a few times recently. No love for the dads. Dads never get the love.
Well, it's always been hi, mom. That's kind of the, you know.
He did. He was particularly fast in the post game.
Yeah.
This week.
Well, he cut Bill off. He basically walked in and said, "It's my turn, Bill. Get the hell off the podium."
They high-fived awkwardly.
Right.
And then he had fewer questions than even he has normally done. And then he sprinted off the podium.
Yeah,
the Black Escalade
was waiting.
He ran off.
He
the
was
podium.
Definitely catching a plane, I'm sure. And he was
Wait
in
a minute.
He was in a hurry.
Definitely, I'm sure.
You have
sure.
to catch your own plane?
He doesn't have his own plane.
You think think he had Delta at 11:30 to get? No.
Doesn't he charter one or something?
I don't think so.
Yes.
Not
you
all
think
the time.
He's flying commercial
he's flying
after those games?
Not all the time.
Yes. No doubt in my
right,
mind.
He has something arranged.
You're out of your freaking mind. He was not flight 307 on Delta out of Detroit.
He didn't have to get out of there so he could get to the airport 2 hours before his flight
right.
left so he could go through security.
What have you been drinking? Maybe he wanted to get in the car because he knew his wife had her shirt off and was changing.
For God's sakes, you're such a big...
I'm just going by what I read on the internet.
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eldridge from North Carolina is on the phone. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, Phillip. How y'all doing?
Good.
Go Pats.
Yeah. You got that right.
Yeah. Got a question for you. Well, really, two. Think the defense could keep playing the way they're playing and shut down the Jets. Not shut them down, but stop them.
Sure. Why not? Young quarterback. Can make plays. I think that's one of the keys to the game we talked about on the TV show is does the young Sanchez make plays or does the young secondary make the key plays?
Yeah, and I heard Chris Mad Dog Russo this morning on local radio, who's obviously based out of New York. Is Sanchez capable of throwing up one of those, you know, 16 for 34s for 160 yards and three picks? Yeah, he's still capable
sure
of doing
that. Sure he is.
That.
Especially if you jump the route after he pumps because he pumps and then throws.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm a Jets fan, that's my fear going in is how Sanchez handles this.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. And they all the pressure the Jets, like they did Pittsburgh. Because to me, like the second half of that Detroit game, that's when they started putting a little pressure on. First half, they didn't put that much on. But when they put the pressure on the Steelers, Ben had problems.
Yeah, they.
So they paid Manning for a little bit.
The Steelers game was their best game all around. They put pressure on him. I mean, Guyton had a batted bound ball and a sack early. They had some pressure that.
By far,
that was their best game. Now, I don't know how much of it had to do with the Steelers' offensive line being a kind of a unit that's mash unit that was held together with duct tape, but if they can do that, they'll win this game.
Okay, but that question I heard you read about a Hall of Famer or a young gun.
Yeah.
Right now, I really have a Hall of Famer that got a couple years left that could stretch the defense. Just wants to go deep, wants to make the defense back up off of Brady just a little bit.
So you want Randy Moss back?
If I had a choice, heck yeah. Just to stretch the defense.
Okay.
Just to stretch the defense and give Hernandez and Walter, I know they're doing pretty good now, but it'd be a whole lot better, I think.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Be a deep threat. We don't have one.
All right. All right, Eldridge.
Yeah, I think right. Thanks, I think Eldridge. There's no doubt that a focused Randy Moss is great. I mean, but the question is, you know, can he be that guy? And you know, it's just the slightest little thing, you know, gets him off track. And
he's off track.
He's off track.
Well, yeah, I don't know how much more productive they can be.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
certainly from last week.
But I mean, the last, but really,
Welker has two,
but really, it's the last 3 weeks now.
They've
really moved the ball, I think, at will up and down the field and scored the last three games.
They're getting back to
the offense
that
has been
type
different
of,
the last three games than it was the previous three games with Branch.
Yeah.
Even though the points per game probably isn't all that much different, to me, the way it's looked has been different.
It's getting to the point where we're getting disappointed if they don't score on every drive, at least 3 points, because we expect it now because they're looking that way. Casey in Milwaukee, formerly of Conway, New Hampshire. Yesterday was a great show. Couldn't stop laughing at the Snuzzler discussion. Looks like a week off from the show did some good. Tom Brady made his podcast debut with Rich Eisen yesterday, where he talked about all the usual subjects, but also threw in an interesting tidbit. Giselle comes to the Patriots home games and apparently takes pride in the fact that the TV cameras don't find her. Do you have any inside information now that Tom has let the cat out of the bag? No, I don't know where she is. You know,
but if she's undressing,
I would imagine she's in a box somewhere, right? a luxury box, for Christ's sake.
But I guess they wouldn't be able to find her.
Yeah, I don't know.
They find other.
Maybe she wears a slouch hat or something like that.
What's a slouch hat?
I you just know, think a hat that comes down over her eyes or something.
I have no idea where she watches the game from. She might not watch it from the stands or from a luxury box.
Well, I think it would be great if she just sits in section 127, row 17, seat 7.
Ain't happening.
Or if she's just here and not really watching the game.
I mean, are you sure you would know it was Giselle if she just... No, with a hat on. Not like all done up, but just a hat, a hooded sweatshirt.
You may not, but all it would take is one guy. Look at her. You know, and then it's all over.
And that's where Will punches him in the face and they run off.
Yeah, well, I want to avoid that. Anyway, just
so you think she's in a box?
I think she's somewhere protected, yeah. She's like the biggest supermodel in the world. She needs
security.
You know? You can't just have her walking around willy-nilly.
Oh, I don't think she's out in the stands with the general
population.
I think
that would be so great if she just tells you, yep, you know where I've been sitting? Down in the end zone under the McDonald's
sign. I think there's a chance she's not watching
Beaver Stadium.
What?
I think there's a chance that she's here, but she's not necessarily watching the game.
Oh, I think she.
Well, why would you come then?
That's Tommy.
To see him when the game's over.
So you think she's just hanging out underneath somewhere?
Hey, girl.
Wherever. I don't know. I have no idea where she watches the game.
I mean, the obvious answer is she's in a box somewhere.
Right.
Just somewhere regular with the window closed, doesn't have it open. And
Not watch. You know, I think if she was watching out in the seats, the camera would find her.
No, in the box.
She's inside, is what I'm saying.
She could sit in like
a luxury
the third
box
row.
Like Mr. Krabs, but not with the doors open. Just sitting behind what?
Exactly. Whereas I think everybody else in that luxury box is out watching the game like Mr. Kraft is.
No, if you have the window closed, there's no way to get
out
of a box.
The seats aren't outside.
There's no outside seats.
Then how do they get the shot?
Because the windows are open.
They have those floor-to-ceiling windows.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that everybody else would be like that, too. But
no,
I don't think
I
she
would
is.
Say
I don't think she's outside.
It's 50-50. Not all the boxes open up.
I think she's inside is my point.
A lot of them are like you. They
watching.
Want the windows closed. They don't want breeze and ambiance.
Let's see. Just like Fred, I'm not emotionally prepared to lose. So to work out some of those nerves, I've created an over-under game. For the Jets game only, Brady, interceptions, 0.5.
Over.
You think you'll have at least one?
That's what I said.
I'm going to say over, too.
Fred Taylor carries, 1.5.
Over.
Danny Woodhead yards, 50.
Under.
Now, are they combination? Are they yards from scrimmage or just
rushing?
Okay.
That's a yard from scrimmage, too, right? Kick returns are not yards from scrimmage.
I'm going rushing.
receiving and
that's
running
what I'm saying.
Is yards from scrimmage.
Right.
That's actually what it's called when you combine the two.
But he didn't say that. He just said Danny Woodhead yards. That's why I'm clarifying. Is it yards from scrimmage or just rushing?
I'm going with over.
Television showing split screen of Ryan laughing and Bill scowling, 3.5. Under.
I'm going to say under.
Because when you're losing, you're not laughing. Unless you're Derek Anderson, which we haven't talked about, that whole tirade.
I don't know what we're talking about.
You don't know what Derek Anderson
happened?
We can
talk about that.
I guess they caught him on the sidelines, you know, laughing after, you know, being beat down.
Late in the game, he was talking to
at a Brandon Merriweather moment.
And then they were smiling.
And in the press conference afterwards, the reporter said, you know, what were you guys talking about? You know, fans might think that that isn't something you should be doing. He just went off. I prepare hard.
I think it's ridiculous that he is getting made fun of because he smiled on the sideline. I think it's ridiculous that he reacted so unprofessionally to the question, which was phrased in a very fair way.
He's in a tough situation. I mean, it's not easy. Losing and sucking.
To me, I think it was one of those cases where he protested too much, Freddie.
Yeah.
It was like,
yeah.
I didn't realize they caught me laughing about that. I'm going to lash out and try to detract from it. And
yeah.
Speaking of
lashing
out.
He made a jerk of himself.
One more over-under. Dirty Sanchez, touchdowns, 2.5.
Under.
Did you see Peyton Manning lashed out last week when asked about losing four of the last five to the Chargers? Kevin Acey asked him on the conference call, and Manning just berated him. Get your facts right if you're going to come here. What's 2000? Because he said, you've lost four of your last five dating back to 2005. What's 2005? Some magical year? Get your facts right. And he went to this whole thing, and the fact was, you've lost four of your last five to the Chargers. Like, just berated the guy. Unmanning-like.
See, to me, that's another doth protest too much.
But
San Diego, obviously, is bothering him.
But Manning
is as calculated
as anybody in terms of image and cool and controlling.
That tells me that he's bothered by it.
That's unlike him.
Very much so.
Very unlike him. And I'm a little bit surprised.
Yeah, no, I just think that it's proof that the Chargers are in his head. The Chargers bother him because he can't beat
passing lanes.
He can't beat them.
Let's see. Sam says Chicago.
Hey, Mr. Sam.
If you like, here's some Patriots trivia to pit Andy's head against Paul's noggin.
You notice how Sam never chimes in, though?
Yeah.
We've been discussing male or female, Mr. Sam, Mrs. Sam. Never has an opinion or chimes in, just continues the next day with an email pretending I'm Sam in Chicago.
Okay. Who was the 1960s Boston Patriot coach?
Lou Saban.
Lou Saban.
Right. Who was the 1960s Boston Patriot leading receiver?
Gino
Cappelletti.
No. Jim Colclough.
Jim Colclough.
What current player on the Patriots roster has the same last name as the team's leading rusher between 1975 and 79?
Cunningham, Jermaine.
Correct. How many seasons in what year was Grogan the quarterback for the Patriots?
75 to 90.
How many seasons in what year?
What? Yeah, he's got this wrong. He's got two seasons, 87 to 89.
What's the question again?
How many seasons in what year was Grogan the quarterback for the Patriots? That's wrong.
75 to 90 was his career, and he was the starter in almost all of those.
Don't you hate it when someone wants to give you trivia and the answer's
not
right?
I think that might be a word missing or something like that.
Yeah.
It might be
maybe the starting quarterback?
But he was a starter for the majority of the time that he was here.
Who was the quarterback in 1988?
Tom Ramsey.
Wrong. According to this, I don't know. Now I'm doubting
Doug Flutie.
Doug Flutie is correct.
Well, for a few games.
Who is the Patriots' all-time leading receiver?
Stanley Morgan.
Correct. And how many yards? Oh, that's tough.
I don't know.
56-21.
10,352. Thanks for the show as always, and I don't know what Eric was talking about that I'm a guy. I'll let him be Mr. Dundee come December 12th to find out himself.
Oh really?
That's a challenge.
Really?
That's a crotch-grabbing challenge.
Wow, you're going to come? Where are we going?
There's no way
Dickus?
Eric will do
lubricants.
It.
Are we going Dickus? To Dickus?
Lubricants. Where are we going?
Oh, yeah, that's what you're buying.
Well, you can't even eat anything.
I can't.
But I can't
afford that.
I have no formal artistic training.
What?
We have to take them out to eat.
I know.
We owe them.
We owe them
I don't
a
like
dinner.
Being a welcher on
we
a
We owe them a dinner. Paul
even
says,
though I didn't shave my head after we lost the Super Bowl.
Even though you've
or you were supposed to go on the bus and sing I'm a Believer.
I went on the bus. There was no one there.
So then go back and do it. You didn't.
Hey, listen, I went on the bus. I fulfilled
what
my
What is this, like the Mendy's dinner?
I went on
the
bus
thing.
And sang I'm a Believer. There was no one there.
What's a Mendy's dinner?
Another Seinfeld reference.
Oh, God. You know those are now like out of date. You know,
listen, you're the only one that they're out of date for. Because you're the only one on earth that has never seen
Seinfeld. Derek in Arizona, tell me if you just knew what a Mendy's dinner was. Thank you, Derek. Email in now.
Oh, he's going to ask the one guy who's 18.
Plus, that I mean, just because you
I'll
know Seinfeld, I didn't know that reference.
Did you approve?
But I know Seinfeld.
No, man.
Did you approve the Spanish newsletter that went out yesterday?
Why?
With Rob Gronkowski shirtless and with thumbs up.
That's all right.
Martin took a picture
different.
Of him in the locker room.
In the Latin culture,
and that's how
having
did
a shirt
it.
Off is appropriate.
That's kind of what he said. Crumpler goes, really? That's the And he goes, it's just a shot for a Latin paper or a Spanish paper or something.
Spanish yeah. newspaper.
I thought it was the funniest shot I've ever
Go look at the pictures up, like. Hanging up in Jody's cubicle.
Oh, yeah.
It's hilarious.
The Latin ladies are going to get a nice shot of Rob Gronkowski.
That's what it's all about, baby. Paul says, don't know if this was stated before, but have you seen the Jets sticking their arms out and running around like an airplane? Looks pretty dumb. Kind of reminds me of when the Eagles used to flap their arms. That's their new thing now. They
it's
soar.
Like a soccer thing, too.
After they, yeah.
Well, it's
after
the
they,
Jets. Get it?
I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and like Jason Terry is called the Jet. He does that after he hits like a shot. Stupid.
Why is it stupid? If we did it, it'd be cool. What do? We don't do anything.
I hate this team more than life itself, the Jets. I do. I've hated them.
He had to specify.
I hate them my whole life. I've hated them.
I hate this. I mean,
but
the
they're
Jets.
The New York Jets, and they put their arms out right. after they score a touchdown, and that's to be made fun of?
Yes. I don't understand why that's not cool. I thought the Eagles was cool. I thought the Dirty Bird was cool.
I just don't get it.
We don't do anything cool except the Foghorn now. We never had anything cool. Is that why? Is it jealousy?
We don't have it?
Mayweather's
kind of adopted maybe we can the all, Terrell Davis
Maybe
thing.
We can all squat down and pretend like we're pooping like Pat Pacon. I mean, what do we... I just don't get it.
I hate this team. I mean the Jets.
I like what Moss used to do with the... Whatever that was. With
separation.
Separation.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's gay. I mean, what? That's great.
I prefer
that stuff
the
is great.
Oakland pointing at the his name on his
hey, I don't really like that.
I think Patriots,
Rob Van Dam style.
I think the Patriots should be the
Pierre
first
Garcon
team.
Does that.
And I don't
like
know
Pierre
if
Garcon.
You could do it because of NFL rules, but I think they should be the first team to not have names on the back of the jerseys, yeah. just numbers.
You really just want to take the fun out of the game. It's not fun.
It's awful.
It's all about awful. Team.
I mean, it took an opponent to actually come up with the one thing we have, which is shoot the gun after. And he got fined, which is obviously was a bad
what
idea.
Why so serious?
But it took an opponent
I don't know. You're blaming God
it.
For your life now.
How are the Minutemen or the Revolutionaries not cool?
That's not cool.
That's self-explanatory. No offense to them.
But what's the matter with it?
I think it's unique.
And it doesn't have anything to do with it. There's no celebration on the field for the team.
I don't have any problem with
if
the militia.
Patriots came up with something.
Yeah.
But there's nothing there. You right. have a bad. It's not their fault. It's a bad mascot for
it's
that.
It's tough to have a mascot.
You
who's
need a
human
for you too.
Right.
You need to be able to play after the touchdowns.
It's better cool. to have an animal or
it's like
an inanimate
midway through
object.
The third quarter the other day, and the Lions had a big play and they played that, and he goes, "I haven't played that enough today. Where's that?"
I think that's the best sound effect in sports. You're
I think it's
the
pretty
Panthers.
Gay to be honest.
Well, you would because you do
Why
entertainment
do you think
for a stadium that has
gay?
No entertainment.
I just don't understand what's there's nothing gay about the militia. What is wrong with it?
No, that's fine.
No, but why do you need some sort of stupid jungle
it's not
sound
it's fine.
See, that right there is the mentality of why this stadium is quiet, boring, and not fun. If this didn't have the best team in football with the best player in the league, this place would be a disgrace.
Hence,
and you guys
Foghorn.
Skate because of that.
Foghorn. Foghorn's
yes,
way
that was
better
a good
than
idea.
A ramp.
I've been telling you for 6 years
no,
to put
I
it
like,
in.
I like the
And the
cat.
Cat is better than a Foghorn. The Foghorn is the best you can do with what you have.
The
but
Panthers,
a cat is better.
The Panthers
is way cooler.
It's good in Carolina, you know,
oh,
not anymore.
Oh, I think Foghorn's better than wow.
No.
I'm with you, Freddie.
Yeah, absolutely.
No.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, the Foghorn just got here, and it was my idea.
By the way, it was stolen from every NHL arena for the last 50 years.
That's all right. It's good. It's good. I'm glad they did it. They should have done it in 2002
when we suggested
opened.
It.
Right.
And we actually said, put a real lighthouse
I mean,
out
they've
there.
Got a lighthouse. You should have a foghorn.
Well, first of all, they don't have a lighthouse.
We have an erector
They have
set.
Four things of concrete
That's
sticking up that are a phallic symbol.
If you can't get jacked up for a first place team playing in your
they can't.
Town.
So get past that mentality.
Then that's not
they
our
cannot.
Fault. And then how's that our
You're
fault?
No, but you don't help it. That's it. And,
whatever.
And you say,
that's garbage.
It was gay.
That's garbage.
It was gay.
Everything is gay to you guys.
Yeah, everything is lame, but it isn't.
I don't understand.
You try things. I give you guys credit. It's lame that you have Tully Bantakane and Merriweather on there, but you tried.
Yeah.
You tried to do it. Sometimes you fail and you move on to the next thing. But try. Don't stop trying.
I don't,
right?
I think if you can't get motivated to at least make noise at certain times during
but,
a game.
But they can't.
They can't.
They don't do
so
it.
So get
they never
past
have.
That mentality.
Fred.
All they right. never have.
Like Bill Belichick says, if we can't get to the quarterback with our outside linebackers, we'll just quit. No, we put a corner at outside linebacker. We try. You need to learn from the head coach.
Okay. When I'm in charge,
what are you
when I'm in
at?
Charge, you can yell
oh,
at me.
Now it's all doctor's fault.
Yeah. I've been here 4 months.
guy.
This portion has been brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Finally, David North Park says,
"I'm Andy Hart for 5-Hour Energy. David, when I talk really fast and go on rants."
Well, really, it's gay to go. Cool.
I don't think it is. I think
David
all
North
of
Park
stupid.
Says Andy you Seinfeld need- is not out of date. You punk ass.
Who was this, Derek?
David North Park.
Yeah, some of our old lame listeners are gonna know. What?
You were like in college Seinfeld. When Seinfeld was on.
When it was not funny the first time.
Oh my!
You never
you're
it.
Nuts. You're out of your mind. All right, that's gonna be it for this edition.
He wants.
Wait,
we got
a huddle. Chris.
We got a huddle.
We
got
a huddle.
He's calling for
He's
a huddle.
Asking if you wanted to do a crossover.
Oh, okay.
For who?
That's a huddle.
For John Rook.
Oh, John's here.
The universal symbol, actually,
wow.
For huddle.
John, you got out of prison early.
I like
Boy,
that.
Is
That's
his
good.
Butt sore.
John, PC minus six tonight. Who do you like?
You know what? That's a good one. I'm just not sure what to think of the Northeastern fighting Paul Perillo's.
Yeah, they're not ready to win a game like this, I don't think.
Northeastern's playing PC?
Yeah.
Oh.
They're not ready for
it's
this
gonna
game.
It's going to be a tonight. Bloodbath.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Broward is favored by six.
Is the, well, you know what? I'd be reluctant with a team that plays six freshmen regularly like Providence does to take the six. So I'm not sure.
More importantly.
I think I'm going to lay off that one, Paul.
Is this
right.
on TV, Paul?
No. No, maybe in Rhode Island.
It's on TV in Rhode Island.
Can you stream it on the web?
I don't know if Providence
actually,
has that.
I think you can, believe
well,
it or not.
Was that Northeastern you could?
Will John Rook be yelling, peanut butter and jam?
I don't know that will happen.
Was Cole White there?
You used to yell that, didn't you? Wasn't that one of your things way back in the day?
Sucky,
way
back sucky, in the day.
On WPRI or one of those?
WPRO.
So, John, are you going to now do Nitpick Tuesday on Wednesday because you weren't here yesterday?
Well, yeah, you know, I felt really bad about that, and I had several people hit me up on the Facebook page and say, you know, geez, we really missed the playbook. Where is it? And I said, well, you know what? Unfortunately, Connecticut's King James called. You know who that is?
Jim Calhoun.
Yes, correct. Very good.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
So he had to do his interview a little bit earlier than we thought we were going to have to do it. So I had to get my butt to Connecticut early, and that kind of took me out of the fold yesterday. So apologies, but I'm here today, and I'm ready for Pat's Jets week.
What do you got, John?
Did you understand anything that Jim Calhoun said?
Very little.
Yeah, I figured. Go ahead.
Very little.
I took a Mecca Okafor
and Karan Butler. They're pretty good.
So what
I
do you
did
got,
not
John?
Ask him. I did not ask him, however, how come he didn't take Ryan Gomes.
Ryan Gomes. I would have just to see
one of the best all-time post-game rants I have ever heard in
indeed.
My life.
He's my all-time favorite.
Mark Canizero from the New York Post is coming up in just a little bit. So we're gonna jump into JETS.
How about Buster Krabs or whatever?
Buster Krabs will be on tomorrow on Thursday.
More importantly, are you looking forward to annual trips to Texas to take on TCU in the future?
Ooh, what are your thoughts about that, Andrew?
I think it's ridiculous.
Why is it ridiculous?
Texas is now in the Big East. I mean, how far west do we go before you stop calling
Andy,
it the Big East?
Andy, whoa, hang on a second now.
I know the Pac-10. What? I know it's a
no,
flaw
no, no,
for
that's
every
not
conference.
What I'm going to say. Andy, oh. Andy, hold on. What division are the Dallas Cowboys
energy.
In?
Yes, I know there are issues, but
what division are the Dallas Cowboys in?
The reason they're in that division is based on
answer
on,
the question.
On history.
Yes, I
what
know.
What history?
They don't want to break up that division.
But they were always in the East.
Also, there's
what I'm saying.
Yes, they're in the NFC East, and who are their chief rivals?
It might have been a mistake a long time ago, but now that they've been together,
who are their chief rivals?
But you're talking about changing it now.
Who are their chief rivals?
This was a long-standing.
Yeah, exactly.
But whenever it
you'd
was
have
made,
to remove
they were never
the
in the
tradition.
East.
No, I know, but you'd have to remove decades and decades and decades of tradition.
That's the point.
If you realigned and made the Cowboys in the NFC South.
I'm not talking about realigning. They did it originally.
You're choosing
just
to
like
add
it.
It might have been
that
wrong tradition
back
have
then.
To start somewhere.
And
who's the Cowboys' biggest rivalry? Washington. Where's Washington located?
Yeah.
East.
Yes,
no,
we know.
For TCU, I think it's a good decision.
Right.
I think it's a great
it's
move.
It's a great
for them.
Decision
well,
for TCU.
Because now they get a guaranteed BCS spot every week. Because that league stinks.
It's
they'll
a,
win
it's,
it.
And it's a great decision for TCU.
Right.
And
they said, we're tired of being good and not getting in.
It's a good decision for the Big East because the football league does need a boost. And, you know, so it's a win-win.
But does now every sports team has to go to TCU, right?
Not every sports team. First of all, your football team's only going to go twice every 4 years. Your basketball team's only going to go twice every 4 years. So that's not a significant amount of travel.
But I'm talking about the lesser sports.
Well, the lesser sports, nobody gives a rat's you know what about.
And nowadays,
it costs a lot of money to get there.
You know, nowadays, they have these things called jet planes, which really helps travel.
And they actually cost money.
Right.
Otherwise, it's a long-ass bus ride.
It doesn't cost that much more on a jet to go from there to you know, Maryland or anywhere else.
But you can drive to Maryland. You can take a train to Maryland.
They don't, though.
The women's soccer team.
Oh, I'm not so sure. You think the women's soccer team takes a flight to Maryland?
Andy's right.
You're out of your gorge.
Here's what they'll do. They'll have travel partners.
I know. It's not just about
And they will also have road trips where you could take TCU and, say, Louisville together, or TCU in Cincinnati, TCU in South Florida, where you don't have to go all the way down and go back and then come down again and go back. They won't yo-yo you.
Do the kids ever go to school?
Right. I thought they were student-athletes. Now they're just skipping class for these 18-day road trips.
All these schools and all these teams have traveling tutors that go with them. So.
Just another team traveling that can beat tutors. PC. Gotta
all
go.
Right. Yeah. All right, John, have a good show. And for our listeners, we'll see you tomorrow.